You're switching over in 3, 2, 1, go.
Hi, and welcome to the Technocrat Live. I'm your host, Matthew Newhall. This is my guest, Jeannie Boyle.
Hello.
Esquire. Is that how I would say you're a lawyer without saying what kind of a lawyer?
Yeah, you can call me counselor.
Or counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the courtroom, counselor.
Thank you.
Don't know what we're judging here. Hopefully nothing. Hopefully not
each other
or anyone else.
Everyone else.
Everyone judge me, because
Random
that's the
judgment.
Safest. Because usually I just laugh when bad things happen to me, because honestly it's pretty funny. Because either I'm going to die and then I want to go out laughing, or it's not a threat at all. So what were we talking? We were talking about something right before. Oh, comedy.
Like 700 million things, but yes, comedy was one.
Comedy.
Of them.
So yeah. I have a theory about comedy. So actually, I'm working on a theory. I don't have a theory. Like, I'll have a theory and I've thought it out pretty well, and I have, like, you know, arguments and facts, and you know, it looks like I know what I'm talking about.
You're
from a
mulling
distance.
It over. It's marinating.
I'm mulling comedy
mind.
At the moment.
Okay.
So I've been thinking about doing comedy just to try to get better at the show.
Oh, nice.
And with a very specific purpose, which is that, you know, how do I deal with hecklers, right? Because sooner or later, I'm going to get a heckler over there, or I'm going to get a heckler, like, you know, when I have a group, when I have a panel, or someone's going to heckle me. So I have to be able to deal with that. So I heard on Joe Rogan, I heard, what the heck's his name? The guy, the white guy with red hair, it was a few episodes ago, he's a comedian, he tells pretty straight-laced jokes.
Okay.
And he was talking about comedy. He's like...
Oh, the Irish guy with the...
Yeah.
With the million kids or something?
Yes, with the million kids.
Okay.
He did a
HBO special, I think.
A few HBO specials. He actually just did an Amazon special.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about... what was he talking about? He was talking about how comedy is really... Like, when you're dealing with a heckler, really you're kind of dealing with a drunk, even if they're not actually drunk, right? It's that kind of like hyper-arrogance that comes out. And so I've actually been looking at it from the perspective of, like, I watched Arthur last night, because I was trying to, like, look at it from the perspective of, okay, how do you control a drunk?
This is all to prepare in the event someone
Yeah, I'm really
you're
stepping through this. Yeah,
yes.
I'm committed.
I actually have a suggestion for you.
Shoot.
Improv.
Improv.
Maybe even more beneficial.
Right.
Than comedy.
Okay.
Because there they teach you to respond very quickly.
Right. Well, so I'm pretty good with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty good with that. Also, well, I can't say I'm great, but I'm not sure how to really gauge myself, because I think on a lot of shows where they actually have a budget, like, you know, they're throwing bags of money at them, you know, they'll have someone in their ear giving the host
100%
suggestions. I don't have that. I just have paper.
That's right.
So,
and also they,
you know,
probably won't let just random people
right
the door. You're going to have...
Right. Well, they're not going to want to totally bum out the audience, because if they start leaving, they're not buying any more drinks.
Right.
Theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, maybe your credit card will still be buying drinks, but that's not how it's supposed to happen. That wasn't the business plan, so...
Right.
I had to bring in the technocrat angle there, so...
Yes.
But
I would say comedy would... I think it's a very difficult thing to get into.
It's incredibly... It's I think... in the same episode, Joe Rogan was saying that he thinks there's maybe 500 comedians.
Was it Greg Fitzsimmons?
I don't think so. That doesn't sound familiar.
No, it wasn't him. It was, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong and it wasn't recent. And it was just, I just saw it recently, like I got algorithmed. So,
right.
You know.
I got algorithmed.
Like, that could mean anything.
Yes.
So, all right, so let's get into news, because I don't want to lose people. First of all, I just want to say TechnocratLive.com is up to the minute. I've been busy working on it. Something came up in my life, and I've been really busy. But the TechnocratLive.com is up to the minute. The vid links are right. The schedule is right. The MP3s are up to date. So if you want to see anything except for this show, up until the minute we started the show, everything was up there. So.
Nice.
So I'm going to make a one-week commitment in the future to putting stuff up on the website. Whatever, you know, if you're waiting for something, it'll be there in a week. So hopefully that'll pan out, and I won't repeat my words.
But you can do it, Matt.
I can do it. I bought a faster computer. And so, and by the way, I've noticed that a lot of people are asking me anonymous questions and giving me anonymous tips. So I've been asking for questions during the show, and nobody writes in. They're still welcome. So you can ask any question you want, but I guess people are intimidated, because the subject matter is usually pretty tough here. So...
Don't be shy.
You can ask anonymous questions. So I'm going to probably set up like a hotline. Not a hotline. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. But no, like an email address that people could email, maybe work something like that out.
Yeah.
So even if I just keep it on my phone and I look for it. all right. So... So I just got an i9, and actually, hopefully within a week or two, my videos are up on BitChute, and some of them are up on BitChute and some of them aren't. I think I've cracked the BitChute, the formula for what file format BitChute wants. They don't have any documentation. They're like new fly by night. Yeah, guess. So, and guess, you know, so I've been taking a very iterative kind of computer science approach to it, which is impossible when it takes 3 hours to process a video.
Right.
So I got an i9 and now it's 1 hour. So I'm cranking through the videos.
Nice.
The possibilities much quicker. And so I think I found the secret formula.
File
so
type.
Hopefully BitChute will be up to date and I'll start working on clips, because people just look at the vast sea of hours of guests and they go, what do I listen to?
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, and I got a new sub. Thank you very much. Keep them coming. I don't even care about money. I mean, I do, but I don't. You know, I don't even care about thumbs up. You know, if you don't like it, tell me. If you like it, thumb it up. But really what I want is subs. So if anyone, you know, if you subscribe, that means a lot to me. So, yeah, subscribe. All right. So, all right, so there was one that came out. This is like a zero-day exploit. So the top news is probably there's a Webmin zero-day exploit. It isn't going to affect everybody. In fact, it's not going to affect a lot of people, because it's only in the case where you have a specific password policy where you're required to change your passwords periodically, like your password expires on Webmin. And really that's kind of like the thing that a corporate setting would have, but a corporate setting would also have a dedicated administrator, so they're not going to have a lot of Webmin usage, because they kind of know what they're doing in the command line, and they're probably using Puppet or Ansible or something and scripting in the back end. So it's not awful, but you should update your Webmin, because it is a zero day. So if you enable this feature on Webmin, someone owns you. So, of course, the internet. It's not even a zero day locally. It's a zero day over the internet. So, screwed. Check it out. all right, what is it? Oh, so this is kind of weird, but I had a thought about it. So it's also, this is mega, mega important news that no one but an economic geek will get, the yield curve has actually, not only is the federal bond yield curve inverted, but now we've gotten to the point where not only is the corporate bond yield curve inverted, but the inversion is skyrocketing. So this is incredibly bad economic news. But then I was looking at it and I was thinking, you know, maybe this just means everything's a startup, right? Because if you're, you know, what's the definition of a startup? You put money into it with the limited expectation to get money back.
Right.
Like you put money into 10 startups and you figure one of them will pan out.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess everything's a startup.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah, right. So
that's one way.
Glass is half full.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, look that up if you're in about to make a large financial decision. It might help you. So the next thing is Epstein, and this is kind of Epstein was supposedly. This is the most political thing I've mentioned on the show. So, and it kind of has to do with technology in the sense of Epstein supposedly committed suicide. So, I think he was murdered. I think it's pretty obvious he was murdered. So you're working in law right now, so you in government, and I'm not going to say any more. You can get into more if you want. But, you know, so you have an idea of just how big and unwieldy government law can be.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with that said, you know, the cameras were off on his cell. The cameras were off in the corridor. There was only one person watching him. He had just been taken off a suicide watch. And the coroner's report, by the word and the details of the report, said that the death was ambiguous. He died from hanging, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's suicide. It could have been murder if someone had access to him. It's very, very suspicious. So the thing that really bothers me about this is actually the camera part. So, you know, municipal cameras are a fixture in some other countries. Like England is just covered in cameras.
Right.
Right. So I really think that that's just the way things are going, and that I'm very excited when someone shows me that they have a camera. I'm very excited. When the government says that they have a camera, but nobody else can see it, I'm a little nervous.
Well, that's what FOIL is for.
Right, that's what FOIL, right. So, but is, at some point, won't the FOIL requests become too burdensome? I mean, you know, like, is
it... It's an obligation.
Can I just write a blanket FOIL request for the Southern District of New York's prison so I can see all the cameras to see how often they fail?
No, that would probably be too broad. So you would need something a little bit more specific than that with some boundaries.
Right, right.
And specificity.
Right, so like, you know, like... I could be wrong. Like, this might not be weird. Maybe their cameras fail all the time. They got a garbage camera contract. Or maybe their cameras are rock solid and this is super suspicious.
Right.
But I can't tell.
Right. Also,
how am I
supposed
to govern?
I have read almost nothing on Epstein.
Yeah.
But is it true that... I thought I read that he wasn't on suicide watch.
He was on suicide watch up until, like, 2 days before. So the warden and the jail's therapist have to sign off.
Right.
On him not being on suicide watch. So I actually have a conspiracy theory about this, and some people are not going to like this. But it actually is really bizarre to me because I have not been very anti-Trump at all. I've been kind of off the Trump bandwagon, off the anti-Trump bandwagon. I'm like, you people are all just arguing about just another president to me. I don't know what's going on. But there is a non-zero possibility that Trump did this and no one's talking about it. And to
me, it's exhausting talking about all the potential things that Trump did.
So right,
I guess
right.
We have Trump fatigue at this point. Did he just offer to buy Greenland?
Yeah, he did.
So, I mean,
that's
Trump
spectacular.
Fatigue.
I fell over laughing when
it's
I read
there's
that.
So much material. Like, remember the comedy thing we were talking about
right.
earlier in the segment? Okay, it's like that.
Well, he treats the office like comedy, for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
He does that on purpose.
Yeah, herrings here, red herrings
like, some people
there.
Think he's stupid. No, he's playing with people.
Yeah.
He's toying with them.
He knows, sadly, knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I mean, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Sometimes I'm like, yay! Sometimes I'm like, boo!
Depends on what your interests are, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because, like I said, I'm right up the middle. I have stuff. I'm not really a Democrat or Republican. I'm not really on either side. So I'm kind of like, but so the thing that really bothers me about this is the camera part. I mean, so this brings up a bigger question. There are cameras all over the place. Why can't...
That's something you could FOIL.
Right, but even aside from FOIL, why can't people just have access to this stuff? I mean, yes, you could use it to stalk or
privacy.
Something. But right, but there's no privacy anymore anyway. I mean, cameras are everywhere.
I wouldn't want. I mean, it's civil rights of the prisoners. You wouldn't want every minute of your existence monitored like the Truman Show.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, and for sure you'd have Charles Manson to turn it into the Truman Show. People might even start mass murdering.
Right.
Just to turn their lives into the Truman Show.
Right.
You know. I'm sure people would have been watching Manson by the tens of thousands. But, like, at the same time, I'm
That's actually a good story. I mean, like, you could write a book on that.
Yeah, you could.
Right? let's do it right now.
Let's do it right now.
I mean...
Well, this is my life. This is this is why I have to have this show, so I can get this crap out of my brain.
Yeah.
So I can just get on with washing the dishes. Because
otherwise,
I'm just like, my wife's like, hello, come on, back, earth the mat. Come on.
Matt, I mean, I've known him a long time. He's always been like this, so. This
right.
is not something that's developed over time. Or,
right, right. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, like the opportunity was there. He has the motive, right? So apparently, you can comment on this. So apparently, if you gather evidence in a case against a person, and then if you if that evidence implicates other people, and then that person dies, that actually you can. They can't turn around and protest that evidence because it wasn't gathered in a case against them. In other words, the quality of the evidence gathering process is dependent on the individual. The quality of evidence is gathering process being called into question in court is dependent on it being the individual who's being tried for something having that evidence gathered against them instead of against someone else.
I don't have any criminal law background, but I will say evidence is, you know, a very specific thing, case-specific thing.
Right.
So, you know, like the impeachability or the value of that evidence is...
Right, right, right. I mean, I guess it could probably come up. It could probably come up in civil law, right? So, like, you know, where you have evidence, because, you know, it's not necessarily, like, some things carry over and some things don't. Is that right? Or
I mean, if you have evidence that, you know, rock solid black and white evidence, it's it's the same evidence. It really is from one case to the other.
Well, right. But like, so the idea, I think the idea was that you could drag the proceedings out. Like, because Epstein was alive, if anybody else was implicated with Epstein, they could just have their lawyers just drag it out and drag it out and drag it out.
Right.
You know, what's procedure followed? You know, I want to see all the, you know.
Yeah, and they do that.
And they do that.
100%.
And that's fine. I know that's how the justice system has to work like that. That's why we trust it, because it's so thorough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So,
well, people with money have the ability to do things like that. People without money tend
they can
to, like,
game it.
They plea out. They just plea out. They're just like, I know that I didn't do it, but I don't have the...
Right. It's 12 people decide who has more money.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Fortunately, I guess because we're such a class-driven society that we don't interact that much with rich people, because there aren't that many of them compared to everybody else. So, most of the
1%,
time...
1%? The 1%?
Right. You know, when you're doing eye for eye, you know, you're in your cast, because the 1% is not 1%, it's
0.01%. Right.
Yeah.
Like the super rich.
Yeah. Like, they're like a completely different planet, different animal, and, you know...
We
don't interact with them, so we're not going to have any crimes committed against us, theoretically.
Yeah, they probably have English accents, I imagine, because that's what they all have, yes.
Wait.
On TV.
What they don't know is the technocrats are actually in charge. Laugh with me. All right, so enough of that. Okay, so anyway, thanks for the input. I just I wanted to throw that out there, see if you knew if it was the same in civil law. I guess it isn't. It's an interesting, because when I read that, I was like, it could be Trump. I mean, he's got Barr. The prison system answers to Barr, and the people who are in the prison system answer to the federal... the Federal Prison Bureau.
Yeah,
that's it. Mm-hmm. So, and he just replaced everybody at the top of the Federal Prison Bureau. He just wiped them.
Right.
Like, right after this happened. So, it could be that he's fighting corruption, or it could just be... I mean, to me, that screams scandal.
Well, another thing that I am granted not an expert here. Like I said, I've done very little reading on this.
Yeah, I think everyone's exhausted from this stuff, for sure.
I thought the New York Times wrote something about the last conversation that he had with his lawyer, and it being an overly optimistic view of, like, his future.
Right.
So, like, his mind frame.
He thought he could. He thought he could make a deal where he walked.
Mm-hmm.
So, which probably means he must be burning a lot of other people, because they don't make deals like that unless you're burning a lot of other people.
You know, deal would probably come from the lawyer.
Basically, like Goodfellas, right? I mean, it's a freaking movie. Sorry, but you know.
But even if he had an unrealistic, even if it didn't come from the prosecution and it wasn't a plea deal.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to show that he was in a positive state of mind.
Right, which doesn't make sense of the suicide.
But,
yeah,
I mean, I guess some people would argue that it was irrational. So who knows?
And, you know, the main thing with a conspiracy theory is it's a theory.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to go storm something.
Right.
You know, I'm not crazy.
But
a theory.
But let's look into it.
I could come up with
a viable theory, let's look into it, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it seems plausible to me.
Why not?
Why is nobody talking about it? You know, it's really silent on this.
I've heard some people talking about it.
Anyway, you know, like, and I mean, you know, I'm sorry if you love Trump and you think he would never do that. I don't do that. I don't give people a pass on either side of the aisle. Doesn't matter what their politics are. You know, I'm more concerned with the system. Like, I'm horrified if I don't see both parties getting an equal shake, because the system's important to me.
Right.
I don't care about, you know, this or that. Even at the most fundamental level, I don't have a dog in that fight. My politics are here half the time and here half the time, so whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on.
Let's move on.
Something about Russia, nothing, and Russian election, but nothing to do with us.
Wow.
So it's
That's
a Russian. Russia's about to have an election in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait, this gets better.
Okay.
So they are using blockchain voting, which is something that I have been a huge proponent of. This got completely missed in our media, and I missed it too for months and months and months. So not only are they using blockchain voting, but they're using Ethereum as the core of it, which is a well-known cryptocurrency that, like, a lot of big companies in the United States have been pushing. And they put the source code up on GitHub.
Nice.
So you can look at the, so you can tell that she's a coder because she immediately knew what that meant, right? You can actually audit the code.
You drilled it into my head back in the Linux days.
So, like, you know, you have source code for this. So there was a French developer who looked into it and found there was a huge driver truck hole through it. And he went and he collected a bounty on it and said, there's a huge driver truck. Apparently they had made one of the key type encryptions way too small. It was 256-bit instead of 1024. So they fixed it.
Nice. That's the way it's supposed to be, right?
Right. So now he's complaining, well, maybe 1024 is not enough. It needs to be 2048, but who cares?
Right.
Right? The process is in place.
Look, it worked.
I'm really excited about it because, you know, so what this is it means this is something I've been pushing for for voting reform, which is that the idea that you can go home and you can use a private encrypted key that that either you feed to a machine or more likely you get from the machine and you can type it in and it verifies your vote is what you think it is. Mm-hmm. So that all votes can be verified by individuals so they can go, hey, my vote wasn't what I put in.
Right.
You know.
No more chat issues.
Right. So I'm really excited about that. I'm kind of weirded out that it's Russia doing it and not us, or not
I'm kind of suspicious.
A freer country.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, they're doing it dead bang on right. So I don't know. I don't even know what to think. Anyway, I have sources for that if you need them. I actually got called out in a source in one of the shows. And so ever since then, whenever I talk about stuff like this, I always have a URL with a source.
Nice, good.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm not going to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to start a rumor and some crap happens because of that. So
you post it on your site?
So this is the most rumor. I don't. So if someone asked for it, I would. So if someone said, I can't find this. But, it's not, usually they're not that hard to find. It's more like knowing what to search for. Mm-hmm. Like, if you type the right thing into Google, you'll get that Russia thing up like that.
Okay.
Right? But, like, if you go into Google News, you won't see it,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's algorithms at work. That's just, but if you can narrow your search down, so I'm not.
We'll find it.
If you need me to cite a source, let me know. I'll do it. It's fine. It's all digital anyway. It takes me 5 minutes. China actually. Now this is sketchy.
Scary. This is scary.
This is a sketchy one. I don't know. This might not be true because all the text is in Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't verify it. I don't read Chinese. I know I'm amazing, but I don't read Chinese.
Yet.
So So face recognition on vending machines. What the fuck can possibly go wrong with that?
Right. What do you, like, I don't even get that. Like, what is the purpose of that?
If you walk up to a vending machine, you can just push the button for the thing you want. It recognizes your face. Says,
so it's like a credit mechanism?
Recognized. Yeah, it's a credit. It's a database in the back end, I assume with your face. And with however much credit you have in your bank account or in maybe a separate system,
right?
It sounds like bank account the way they made it sound. But
I mean, you could have a vending machine in, like, let's say you live in an apartment building with a vending machine, and it could, like, go directly to your rent bill.
Right.
Or you're in a hotel with the vending machine, it goes directly to your room.
Right, right. Well, the nice thing about that is there's a fire break,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's just that apartment building.
Right.
Yeah. So you're not jacked. Unless that apartment, the database for the stuff for that apartment building is jacked. And now a hacker's going to be like, do I really want to pop just one apartment building?
Right.
You know, probably the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Do I really want to pop China? Yeah, I want to pop China.
Yes.
So this is crazy. What?
It's unnecessary. That's what it is. It's unnecessary.
Well, it's also really, I mean, like, a lot of people have been like, technology's not going to abuse us at all. And it's like,
okay.
I don't get to eat if I'm bad,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Anyway, check that out. So there was a funny one on apparently YouTube banned some videos for animal cruelty, but they were actually robots fighting each other.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yay, algorithms!
Nice.
Thanks to Matab at the Apple Store. He actually didn't say his name to me. I'm just reading it from his card. So I wanted to confirm that there will be no i7s, and because I said this last episode, because I was shocked when I found it, there will be no i7s on Mac Airs.
Okay.
In this iteration in 2019, who knows in 2020, this is actually kind of huge. You may not realize it, but there are i7s in other platforms. So they only have i5s available. Now, that's not a big deal on itself, right? Apple's always been behind here or there, you know, in an aspect. They're also heavier, and they also have smaller screens. So their screen-to-bezel ratio is worse. So the other ones have these tiny, like, micro bezels now.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that they're bigger, heavier, and slower. You know, the laptops are bigger, heavier, and slower than their competitors in the ultralight.
Oh, wow.
So Apple's a boutique brand, right? If they're not, they don't have to be the best, but they have to be able to hit it from here.
At least competitive.
They have to be close to the best, mm-hmm. right? They're not even close here. So this is really bad for Apple. I'm kind of wondering if this is like...
death nail?
Yeah. I said last week, this might be like, I can see 10 years from now, Apple's in real trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because if this is... it seems to be a trend. Like, every generation, there's a little bit less reason to get
Well, I've always thought
their gear.
They've, like, operated on smoke and mirrors.
Well, you know, they had some legit... nice features in the past. You know, one of the things they would do is they would try to have the best specs, even if it cost a little more,
mm-hmm.
on their devices. But they're not doing that anymore, right? So they're a boutique brand. Basically, you buy it to show off. Like, look, I have the mm-hmm. very best eraser you could get.
Right. Look, this represents me and my value.
This is
who I am.
If I was a tiny robot that I could you would smush into your face, I would look like this. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so.
I mean, they're good, solid phones. I have one for work, but.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm the only person I know, and please, if you did this, let me know. I'm the only person I know who is actually an Apple OS X server administrator for a large server installation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know people have worked on one server or two servers, but I like hundreds. When I worked in the e-commerce field for a little while,
nice.
So yeah, that was just racks and racks and racks of Apples. So I'm not against Apple. You know, I was already a Linux guy when I did that, so mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Why not?
And it was fun. And actually, I learned a lot of stuff. And I don't know why they got out of the server field. That was a mistake, and that might get them out of trouble from this business with the ultralights not being competitive.
Mm-hmm. It could also be that they're holding on to their resources. Maybe they have something big coming up.
Right. So in case you haven't guessed it, Jeannie has a background in computers. So okay. You have a computer degree, don't you?
Computer programming and information systems from Farmingdale.
Yes, Farmingdale. Yeah. So that's really awesome. And as far as I think you're the only lawyer I know who actually has a degree in computers and is also a lawyer.
Yes, there's not a lot of us.
Right.
But yeah, so they tend to go into...
And you had to write code and stuff for that. You had multiple coding projects.
Mm-hmm.
You had to learn Java, if I remember correctly.
No, it was mostly C++.
Oh, C++.
I can't even remember if we did any other languages, which I'm sure we did, but that was my favorite.
All right. C++ is what you did, yeah.
Predominantly.
Well, sometimes they give you a choice, too, so,
mm-hmm.
you know. Could we open the door? It is freaking cooking in here.
It is. It's very, very warm.
You're not crazy.
I didn't want to say anything, but...
Yeah, thanks, man.
Thanks.
Okay, so we were just slowly cooking to death here. So if we started talking like this...
We may not have even been speaking English, for all we know.
Were we really talking? Were we even talking?
I don't know.
Did that happen, man?
Let's take another hit of acid.
Well, actually... Please. Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, we have we also have liquid courage. Would you like some liquid courage?
Hour one. After hour one.
After
let's
hour
have
one.
A little,
All right.
Yeah,
first,
let's
first
do
let's do our LSD.
First, we're gonna trip out.
All right. First, we're gonna trip.
Mm-hmm.
Was I supposed to take a whole one?
You could take like three.
Really?
Like, really go.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Like it's rocket
gonna,
chip.
It's gonna rocket chip, people.
Mm-hmm.
Just call me Musk. He smoked a bong on the air and then promptly got...
Did he really?
It's a joint.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't know about that?
No.
Yeah, he was on Joe Rogan, and he went on there, and Joe offered him a joint, and he took it. And actually, it's funny, he went, and then his phone went off, and I guess it was his lawyer or something, like, what the f*** are you doing? And you can see the look on his face, like...
Stop.
Sure, thanks.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So, actually, I have an apology to make to you.
Uh-oh. This is awkward.
Yeah, this is it's going to be awkward.
Okay.
I'm really, really sorry.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, this is a great story.
Okay.
I always tell my guests to have great stories, so I'm not gonna miss this one.
Okay.
I played a prank on you a while ago.
Is it about the keys?
It's about the keys. I hid Jeannie and her husband's keys.
It was Dunkin' Donuts. The year was...
Oh, God, I don't know.
I think the year was 1995 or 6.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Oh, but I remember it. This is the first time we mentioned it since that time, just so you know.
Yeah, so I hid their keys in a potted plant. We were all hanging out at Dunkin' Donuts, and I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it probably would have been funny had I decided to keep hanging out. But then someone said, hey, Matt, let's go somewhere else.
Right.
And I went, okay.
Me and Pat hung back.
And you hung back.
We hung back.
And you guys ripped Dunkin' Donuts apart.
Did we throw it out?
Keys.
Let's go in the garbage and see if we threw it out by accident.
I was hoping you were going to say that part.
Let's go right in there.
I'm really sorry. That is like top five stupidest evil things I've ever done in my life.
It is.
I wouldn't do that to an enemy.
Like, really?
Yes. It was horrible.
Me and Pat had a good laugh at it.
You guys are really good sports about it. I don't even know how you were like, you know. Fortunately, we had already gone way back at that point, so, I mean, you didn't even, they just laughed at me. That was the worst part.
Right. I think it was you
and
Maria.
If you got mad, I would have been like, all right, well, you know, maybe I found out something about
I think it was you and Maria.
What? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was you and Maria had the great idea.
I think Giselle was there, so maybe it might have been, Giselle has a good memory. She would have remembered.
You, Maria, and Giselle, maybe.
Maybe she wasn't there. Yeah, you know what? Giselle has a really good memory. She probably remembered.
Yeah.
She would have been like, you got to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
No, she wasn't there. No. It was me and Maria.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've forgotten. We left the keys in the potted plant.
Yeah.
But at least you had your keys.
That's right. Finally, we got them. How did we even get in touch with each other?
That was the beeper days. I had a beeper, I think. Or someone had a beeper. Or no, maybe we went back there.
I remembered
I went back there.
You're like, oh, shit.
Yes. Yeah, so, for people who don't know, all you youngins, in the old days, when you went someplace...
And accidentally threw your friend's keys away and forgot to tell them, or, like, hid them in plants...
You vanished. Yeah. Right? There's no phones,
there's no, finding
no
you.
Beepers. You can't... What are you going to do, call Dunkin' Donuts and ask you to put someone in sitting at a table on the phone?
Mm-hmm.
No, you just vanished. You walked out the door, and you were gone until you came back.
Right.
You know, you could
you
be kidnapped.
Faith. You just have
aliens.
Faith that you'll see your friends again one day.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think anyone on Earth, like, right now, were to go back into that time, they would completely have a meltdown.
They wouldn't know what to do.
They wouldn't know what to do.
Right.
They'd be like, oh, my God, I can't talk to anybody.
Yeah, wait, hold on. If you're going to call me, I have to be home?
Right, you know, they would probably just tape a piece of cardboard to their eye like this to pretend like it was a cell phone because to try to relieve some of the anxiety.
Yes.
They'd be a cell phone pirate, you know.
Things were different then.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm really...
Thank you for the word.
I'm a terrible person.
No, you're not, and I forgive you.
Sorry.
I forgive you. As for Pat. I think I speak for Pat when I say...
Yeah, it's a great story, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's a pretty good...
We're
told everyone.
What the hell, man? Where's our key?
I mean,
everywhere.
It took a lot of bravery to bring this up, by the way. I was like, you know, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but holy cow, I was like, I gotta tell people about this because it's terrible.
Yeah.
And Jeannie could get really, like, relive it and go through some kind of PTSD about
it. Yeah, some trauma.
Yeah.
Real trauma.
All right, so you have a computer background, and then you decided to be a lawyer.
Yes, so...
What made you want to be a lawyer?
To be honest, it was just something I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Among like 10 million other things that I wanted to do, but I think I have a natural inclination for that kind of like reasoning.
Right.
So I was like, well, it's as good as any other, and I just went there. So I was working at Olympus at the time, and I remember there were a bunch of people that I was working with, and like I saw that, you know, I was in the marketing coordinator / administrative assistant for the marketing group there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I think I'm not utilizing my potential. I think it's possible that I'm not.
You finally realized you were smarter than everyone.
I don't want to say that, but
that's what
I
see.
I was at a minimum
so
keeping up with everyone.
You know what? I don't have to, it's not important to me to be the smartest person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, it really isn't, I swear to God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, in fact, I relish the idea of being surrounded with people smarter than me, because then everything's easier, right?
Right.
Right. I don't have to think hard anymore.
You think.
Well, I'm assuming they would all have different, assuming they had different agendas, right? If they all have the same agenda, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, but if they all have different agendas, you know, no one's going to let you get used too far, right? So you're not going to
get tricked. They don't want to break you. They still need you.
They still need you, right?
Right.
So kind of like, think you just kind of go along and get along to get along, you know, pop as many Altoids as you want. And
that's right.
Life's good, right? But like, so I see the utility in having people who are smarter around you. But that said, I realized that at least some of the time I was the smartest guy in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Not always.
But sometimes.
But enough that I had something to contribute, for sure.
Right. Well, when I was working at Olympus, I felt like I was keeping up with everyone else. And I was like, well, if they're getting paid well, and they went to NYU, or they went to Harvard, and they're all doing well, I can do that.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I've always, you know, wanted to be a lawyer. Let's just do it. And that's my, I guess, origin story.
Yeah, that's a good origin story.
Mm-hmm.
You just did it.
I just did it. I was like, fuck it.
You just told me one day I'm going to law school, and I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought maybe there was like, you know, like some kind of like secret meeting or...
No secret meetings, that was
know,
it.
You know, aliens, you know, ray guns, you know, spatial anomalies. No.
No, just, nothing like that.
You just realized, what?
Yeah, so then I was like, you know, I better finish that degree I started, and then I kept getting pregnant, so then I kept having to stop it.
Right.
So I finished it.
Right.
And then immediately went to law school.
Right. That's a huge problem for, like, this is not where I was going to go at all with this, but I mean, I know you probably have an opinion on this. That's a big problem for women trying to have a career. They get pregnant and they're up a creek.
Right.
Yeah.
No, especially, oh, we're going to go here. Dun, dun, dun.
If you don't want to go, look, if there's anything you don't want to talk about.
Oh, this is definitely something I want to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, we were just talking about it earlier.
It's your show. You know, like, I'm back here next week.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like what one of my guests says, you'll get to hear what the next guest says next week. I have plenty of chances to get my two cents in, and I can't even help it. So go for it.
I was just going to say, you know, it's very difficult. Yeah.
Is that? Yeah.
And you probably did they pay you those 3 days?
My wife didn't. All right. I don't want to say it. There were child caring activities that my wife didn't even know how to do.
Right.
That I knew how to do.
Right.
You know, like there were a few. I knew a few things about babies she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But you need both parents there, right?
Yeah. I mean, you don't need. I can see why. All right. You don't need both parents there forever.
Not forever.
But like 3 days, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know. She's still, you know, it's not pregnancy, and the delivery room is not always a smooth process.
No.
You know.
It's a damn shame, because really, I mean, families need that. They need that, like, nice start. But it's nearly impossible for any young family to start, you know, and have a meaningful family and a meaningful career.
Yeah.
So after I had my 2 children, I just worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a point when they got a little older, I was like, you know what, let me go back and become a lawyer.
Right.
And then I studied my ass off, because I didn't have money to go to, like, LSAT training school.
Were you mad at anybody that it wasn't easier?
No.
That you had to, you know, that you had kids and you just, you know, decided to spend your time with them at first?
I was frustrated.
Yeah.
I was frustrated that the system was not really working in the way that I thought it should work for families. And that I was also frustrated hearing people, you know, different parties saying, you know, family values and family values and this and that.
Oh, they all
say families
it all the time.
And working families. And it's like, no. You support working families.
Well,
by supporting working families.
From their perspective, everything's fine, because they're in the six-figure plus for 3 or 4 generations class.
Yeah.
Almost always.
Yeah.
So,
well,
like,
right now,
you don't care what your job says. You just take the time. I'm taking the time.
Right.
You're not, may I, sir, please.
Yeah, may I have the 2 weeks off, sir.
May I have the 2 weeks off, sir.
I know I just delivered a child.
Right, right.
I'm going to need the day off. Is that okay?
I really don't want to work on Christmas Eve.
Right.
Can I? Yeah.
One more call, sir.
Yeah. I just want to spend one day with Tiny Tim, you know.
No, you know. It's ridiculous. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's that bad. And then, you know, daycare is so expensive. I don't want to go into a soliloquy of family values, but it is a major issue for me.
So how do you feel about Yang and UBI?
Have you heard about $1,000?
Yeah. Well, let me rephrase that. Let's not make it about Yang.
Okay.
So do you think that there's an automation glut, and do you think that that's going to cause a labor glut? Do you think we have to solve that? Because that's the core argument of what he's talking about.
Do you mean that automation is going to take over?
Yes, the automation is going to make jobs go away.
Listen, in some jobs. And then hopefully if we're smart and innovative enough, it'll open up other jobs, like service jobs and creative jobs.
I don't know. So let me give you an optimistic view, optimistic counterview. So personally, having eliminated quite a few jobs, over the course of my career.
Congratulations. Well done, Matt.
Yeah, I know, right? Matt for president. All right. So I'll replace you with a short script. Welcome to hell, America.
We could be living in a society that's vastly different than the one that we live in now. We could be living in a society where people are working towards innovation that saves the environment.
Well, the question is, what do we do when automation or when technology, any technology, whatever it is, makes it so that there's a labor glut, how do we react to it?
All right. Well, because it's all in the way you look at it and the way that you phrase the question. So in my opinion, we have people in the workforce who don't want to be in the workforce, and we have people who are not in the workforce who are desperately seeking to be in the workforce.
Right.
We have families where every single member of that family is working one or two jobs.
Right.
So it's not that we don't have...
Linux is hot again, people.
Yeah. Well, suffice it to say, it's not that we don't... We don't need as many jobs as we have. What we need is the jobs that we do have to pay more, to pay a livable wage, to pay for time off, to pay... We need people at home. We need somebody raising children. We need some,
Right.
Your question was framed in a way that
right.
I disagree with.
I completely am deceptive the way I frame questions because I like to screw with people.
Okay.
Not you in particular.
Okay.
I just like to screw with them and screw with, everyone, make everyone think. And so really, I think we've been here before. And actually, the answer is the moral reaction is, okay, so the labor market's not as busy. Let's shrink the amount of hours that we work.
There you go.
Right.
No, shrink the amount of hours. We work too much.
Right. And so, and of course,
2 weeks vacation.
The counter argument that I got,
vacation?
I actually posted this online, and I got a counter argument from a reputable businessman that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And the counter argument was that, white collar people already work 50 or 60 hours. That's true. That's not going to change, right? Some white-collar people never really stop working, right? So you have two groups of people. You have people who have a specific, and we may not even be talking about white-collar and blue-collar anymore. It may become something different. People who have a specific predefined role where they're supposed to do a thing, and they have to do that thing well or bad. Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe a little more complicated, but yeah, I mean, drive an ambulance, right? Or work in the back of an ambulance when the ambulance is driving itself, right? So, and then you have another group of people who are just trying to solve all the problems. That's the normal white collar, right? You never really stop thinking about it. You don't ever really stop thinking about your cases, do you?
No.
Yeah, I don't ever stop thinking about computer problems. I haven't worked in computers in 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than like dribs and drabs, but like I never stop thinking about it.
Right. It's in the background.
I'm solving problems from 3 jobs ago.
Right.
Still. head.
I'll get there. You're not getting paid for that.
Yes.
But suffice it to say, I mean, there's not a shortage of jobs. There's plenty of jobs. Have they been invented yet? Maybe not. Maybe they are. Maybe most people, maybe half the people, want out of the workforce. They just want to raise their kids.
So, but you think the labor glut is absolutely real, and that people are just, people who want jobs can't get them, and people who want to stay home.
Can't stay home.
Right, and I think that's actually a symptom of the labor glut too.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it sounds weird, right?
It just needs to be moved around.
It sounds counterintuitive, but I think actually people not being able to stay home with their kids is a symptom of the labor glut because they'd have, let's say it was 10 hours less a week, you were 30-hour weeks, right? You'd have, or you got $1,000. Time is money. Whatever, it doesn't really matter which way you do it to me. Yeah, so I think Yang's okay. It's not my favorite. I'd rather do the shorter work week, but sure, give me the money.
Mm-hmm. Why not both? Like
you can do both. Well, the reason I like the shorter work week is because we've done it already.
Yeah, shorter work.
If you do shorter work week, the Republicans, the conservative side, which I would expect to be the counter. If Yang wins, hopefully, we'll hear a lot more of this in the debate. Where it's kind of like, well, why should we get handouts? Well, because time is money, and we get time.
What?
Time back. Well, that would be the counter argument, right? I'm imagining the argument between the two.
Okay.
Between Trump and Yang, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So how would that go? And it would be, you know, oh, okay. But they can't really, if you turn around and say, okay, well, let's make it a 30-hour work week so that you get full-time benefits when you work 30 hours. There's no counter-argument for that because we already did that with the textile fires, right?
Yeah,
you know, people were working 80 hours a week.
Right. I mean, we're losing sight of reality. Like, this is life. This is our one and only life.
Yeah.
It's not that you're not working 30 hours a week. Pretty much you can boil down any job into 30 hours, even though you're there for 40.
Right.
It's life. This is it. Go.
Well,
and if we're spending all of our time
and maybe
working,
it'll be 20 one day, and maybe it'll be 10 one day, and, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I hope, right? And who wants, if we could all just work 5 hours a week, it would be spectacular.
Just do the job.
Right.
Just do your job.
Right.
There you go.
Right, well, you know, but
those arguments
but 5 hours
frustrating.
A week, you know, kids can live without their parent for 5 hours a week.
Right, that too. For some kids.
If we address the labor glut, I think it mm-hmm. solves this problem.
Right.
You know.
And also it solves many other problems, like all of that money going into prison systems because no one's raising kids.
Right. Right, of course, because, you know. Just like everything else, I refuse mm-hmm. to take a side. I'm nature-nurture. I think some kids it's nature, some kids it's nurture, and some
of
kids
course.
It's both.
Of
but
course.
For sure, if this prison system is this, if, you know, convicts is this, and let's just, all right, let me rephrase that. If guilty people is this, right,
mm-hmm.
for sure, some of them, it was preventable. You can argue it's here, you can argue it's here, but... For
yeah,
sure,
and I'm not saying that people
and
who
parents
have...
Parents are a big part
yes,
of that.
Yes, I'm not saying people who have had single parents or in daycare or anything like that are going to be in prison. That's a ridiculous thing. I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
saying
for sure.
That
no, there's hard numbers on that.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, it is. There is.
That's
yeah.
very sad.
Not having single parent houses and parents... Single parent broken houses tend to have... kids who end up in jail.
But I would just say, I would argue that it's easier to manage your household when you're in it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, duh.
It's easier to manage your household when you're in it. It's easier to raise your kids when you're in it.
No. Let's trust the algorithm that can't tell the difference between animal cruelty and robots fighting
yes.
to raise your kids.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
But I don't buy the argument that automation is going to kill the economy.
No, I don't think
I
it
don't
will.
Buy it.
Well, it will if we don't deal with it.
If we do like these
if we
feel good
ignore
laws,
it.
If we do like these feel good laws that make people feel so good, like no, we can't have jobs at 30 hours. You know.
I mean, I've eliminated people's jobs for sure, and
yeah.
I will eliminate more.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not. I'm not holding you hostage. You know, this is just the nature of the
like
work.
But that's like the forest fire thing. Are you going to like?
Right.
Like let the. I'm not saying let the. You know.
Right.
Controlled burning of the forest.
Right. You cut fire breaks in.
Yes.
Right. Fire breaks.
Yes. Otherwise.
Or fire roads.
If you try to maintain the forest as it is and put out every little fire, you're going to get like a.
Right.
Yeah. That's what's happening now.
Mm, yeah. All right. Interesting. So that argument's almost a corruption argument in a way. That a lot of that would be.
It's feel good laws. People do laws that don't make sense.
Hmm. Okay.
They do laws that make people feel good. Like,
right.
No, we can't have half the people not working and getting money for nothing.
Oh, for sure. A huge problem is people saying to the government, do something.
Right.
And they're like trapped.
But then you're like, but if you do it this way, like everyone will benefit. It doesn't matter. I just don't want people to get money and not work.
Right.
Even if it means everybody benefits people.
Right.
And these are the laws that get passed.
Right. Well, I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
I have to think about that and get back to you.
Okay.
Right. To go deeper on it, I see what you're saying, and you're not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you're, I think this, I feel like I'm, sometimes I get that funny buzzy feeling in the back of my head, and it's not just the Altoid LSD.
Okay.
But also it's,
I have to, like, strengthen the potency of it.
Yeah. Wait, let me take another one.
Yeah, let me take one, too.
See if I get more... Oh, no!
Our prop!
Hopefully it would be filled with booze in there,
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's something more to that. But you know me, I'll dig, and 2 years from now, I'll go, Eureka!
Mm-hmm.
You'll be like, what the hell are you talking about,
I don't even
about,
know what you're
dude?
Talking about, Matt.
Yeah.
Don't even know.
Yeah, I start all conversations with, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me explain. Remember that conversation 3 years ago? Yeah. All right. So,
All right.
What's your opinion on loot boxes? So let me give you a little background.
Yes, please.
So loot boxes are a concept in video games.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of a blurry concept because...
It's when you fight the bad guys and you find loot?
No, although you could argue...
You're giving to the bad guys to get loot?
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's neither of those. A loot box is basically a form of gambling that happens inside of a video game.
Okay.
Now you could
giving to the bad guys to get loot.
Yeah. So, you know, basically you're given a set of odds, or maybe not even, and you commit real, effort and or possibly even real money converted into the game's money to open up to take a random chance of getting a prize.
No skill. No, nothing.
It's no
like
skill.
It's like a juke. Like what are they called? Those.
Yeah, the one-armed bandit.
Yeah.
It's a one-armed bandit, essentially.
Okay.
And so, you know, and it's interesting because you could. This could get really blurry. Like, you know, okay, so how much? I'm sure people. There are video games out there that people could mock and say, "Oh, there's no skill in that anyway,"
mm-hmm.
right? But most video games, the main storyline in the game or the main event in the game is reasonably complicated. But often games will have mini games inside of them.
Right, yes.
Like the little Easter eggs.
Right.
And like, you know, the mini game may be easier, maybe a lot easier, maybe very different, play by different rules. So it's almost like a mini game, but the skill level varies from a little bit
pressing
of skill
a button.
To zero skill.
Yeah. So how do I feel about gambling?
How do you feel about gambling in video games being trained to little kids?
I don't like it. Yeah. I mean, like, this is just like my gut reaction. I haven't thought about it too.
Yeah, this is, people, if you think this is legal advice, you took some of the Altoids, right? Yeah, this is, we're talking opinions and ethics
opinions.
Here.
Opinions.
Yeah.
Gut reactions.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like kids gambling.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's great, right?
I don't like it.
Yeah, most people don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's funny because most people, the real problem here, this is one of the things that's just like glaring to me that we're in a technocracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't even understand this is a problem.
Oh.
And the funny part is, yeah, like most people don't even, this is very much under the radar. No press is covering this. You know, I mean, there's a story here or there, but they're typically online. They're not, forget about it being on the TV or something. But the thing that's really interesting about this, you know, a lot of social media is trying to make their social media pages more addictive.
Mm-hmm.
Game companies are investing a lot of money these days in making their games more addictive.
Right.
They're actively trying to make them addictive.
Right.
It's not even like kind of sort of like, oh, it just happens to be addictive.
Right. They want you to stay on there longer.
They want to keep you hooked.
Right.
You know, and and there's actually an analog to this, and I'm surprised it isn't regulated, but it also isn't regulated in meat space, in our space, which is, it used to be when Toys R Us existed, you could go into Toys R Us and they'd have physical loot boxes, right? They'd have, and you'd get figurines, so you'd pay for a loot box.
Are you talking about like the claw or something?
No. Well, literally, it'd just be a bunch of boxes on the shelf. Like this, and then, you know, and they're just all nondescript, they're all the same, and you just grab a few and bring them to the register and pay for them, and you open up, and you're not sure which toy is inside.
Okay.
It's part of the set. So, and I'm wondering...
Okay, one's a virtual thing, and one's a tangible thing, I guess.
Right, so, I mean, you know, like, I mean...
And are you guaranteed to win something virtually?
Well, so with this, you get something every time.
Yeah.
But... It could be, you know, it's the same thing they would do with baseball cards, right? You know, there'd be 100,000 of the popular, you know, like of two of the popular players and 1,000 of one of the popular players, and you'd have to buy so many baseball cards to get that one player, so you had a complete set. So it's like that, you know, there's different odds on different players, so the boxes have varying odds.
Right.
So you know, like, and then I mean. Now all of this, I'm kind of libertarian, so I'm kind of like, I don't give a crap if adults do this, you know. I mean, at this point, any gambling bans we have are completely, you know, gutted by the lottery.
Right.
You know, so whatever. You know, they have to publish the odds, but nobody understands the math. Realistically, nobody sits down and says, I've got a pretty good shot of winning the Powerball today.
Right. And it doesn't even matter what the odds are, to be honest with you.
Right. Right.
Just put like a big win on the.
But they're just getting this kids used to this behavior in meat space, and then they go online in the games, and now they're actually paying real money, you know, for an iTunes card or Roblox or whatever, to go in there and gamble inside the game for, you know, but even if it's a game where you're performing some toil in it, toys, like farming, like games, right. A lot of games you can farm.
Or brain toiling.
Brain toiling.
A puzzle.
Yeah, you solve it. Well, even if it's a puzzle, you could argue it's a game.
Right.
You know, like something where it's just dumb. You know.
Right.
You know, and then that gives you the currency, and then you do it. But that's hours spent on the game. So I don't even...
You just change, like, the look of it and the feel of it, and suddenly it's okay.
You would never
let a kid gamble in, like, a casino.
I mean, this is already...
Here,
I am sure this is already having a non-zero impact on economics.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it certainly is going to have a non-zero impact on economic behavior, which is just going to get weirder and crazier. So, I mean, in a way, you could even argue... I'm really getting spatial there, but you know, like you can even argue that like buying things from online stores that you haven't seen in person is a little bit like this because you don't know what the hell you're gonna get.
Right.
You know, you know what the other people said, but who knows if they're real.
Right.
Right? You know what the weight is and what the dimensions are, but that's all you know. You don't know if it's solid, like you could pick it up and goes.
Yeah, I mean I guess
it's really
like,
cheaply made, whatever it is.
It's the certainty of your purchase though. It's like the likelihood that what you're getting is what you're paying for.
Right, right.
So with these loot boxes, you don't even know what you're getting.
It seems almost like we need some kind of better return policy for everything, you know, where you can just say, no, deal off, give it back.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't what I signed up for.
Right. Well, I don't even know that children should be
reversible contracts.
I think you can't even go into a contract if you're under
18. Right. Right.
So.
Well, usually what happens is the kids lie.
Right.
They lie about their age and.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck getting
that money back from the.
Well, you know, this is crazy because de facto law is bonkers mm-hmm. compared to what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's actually de facto is. What's actually happening, sorry, and de jure is what we want to happen. De facto and de jure are like different planets.
Right.
Right? So, like, what do we even do? I mean, how do we marry those two things? I don't even get it.
And it's ever-evolving, so it doesn't matter, because when you do marry it, then you, like, there's another little fire over there, there's another little fire over here. It's evolving, and it's changing, and it's...
Right. And, I mean, and you know, like, so this is probably not going to get fixed, it's particularly in Amazon, because Amazon's got an amazing return policy. I'm not advertising for Amazon. They're not a sponsor or anything, but they really do. This sucks.
I feel like you've mentioned Altoids, and now you've mentioned Amazon.
Right.
I feel like you should be sponsored.
I know, right?
Just throwing it out there.
Cha-ching, this is positive stuff I'm saying mm-hmm. about Altoids. And I'm associating Altoids with budget narcotics. And
I don't know that they would like that, but maybe they would. Maybe they would.
You know, sometimes you get that that whole Szechuan sauce effect.
Yeah.
You hear about that?
No.
With Rick and Morty. Mm-hmm. So they did a bit in a Rick and Morty where they had a McDonald's Szechuan sauce.
Okay.
And he missed it. Rick missed it, so he went into his memory. They were in a memory machine, so he's actually in his own memory.
Mm-hmm.
And he was eating the Szechuan sauce again because he remembered it was delicious and McDonald's doesn't make it anymore. So millions of fans petitioned McDonald's, and they had a limited run of Szechuan sauce.
Nice, nice.
Yes, you could buy them on eBay for a lot of money now.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's funny.
But now they're remaking Mulan, and you got to wonder if that's what they were after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
See?
Sorry, pop culture isn't totally dead.
So now you mentioned McDonald's, too. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah,
anyone who wants to sponsor the show, this is it.
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah.
I got to hire you.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
You got to hire her.
Me and Mark. He was like...
he was like, bam, 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 this is how it is.
It was a compliment. Left and right.
All right, so... That was my loot boxes thing. I just wanted to bring that up because, I'm sure you run in circles with people who maybe could actually do something about this stuff. That way, if it ever comes up,
mm-hmm.
you can talk about it. I've seen it. I play the. I'm weird. I play the games that my kids play most of the time. Not all of them, but either I'll watch them play
mm-hmm.
or I'll actually play it. Like I told them about Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because I want to know what the heck's going on. You know, I want to know what their environment is and everything. So, but I know most parents don't. They have no idea what's going on.
No, they don't have. Also, they don't have the time.
I mean,
like
I sat
going
down,
back to our original.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of independently successful,
mm-hmm.
let's just say. So I have a little more free time than other people. But I mean, if anything, it kind of is. It's reminding me of just how distant BoJack Horseman is from the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me being BoJack Horseman. Like, you know, like I just like most people are just they can't even.
You get
they don't have time to wipe their butt twice. They get one wipe and you're out of there.
It's bad. It's so bad.
It's really bad. And
America needs to do something. It's ridiculous.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I bailed. Yeah. You know, I was just like, this is crazy.
People are losing sight. I have, because really they just listen to me. Like, they tolerate me at work sometimes.
That's excellent.
Like, yes.
That's when you know you're in charge.
Yeah.
Promotion?
No. We have lunchtime conversations. And we each have like our own like.
Oh, you're having the same experience I have,
with
right?
That.
When I brainstorm out and I'm just like blah 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 blah.
Well, something's
Matt,
passionate
shut
about.
Up.
Something's I'm passionate about, and one of the things I'm passionate about is family values, like family time,
right.
And family issues, and think we just are totally losing sight of like reality, like life. Being with our family, our friends, and living.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Because the game is so entrenched in the stupid game of
life. We've got. Depending on how you look at it, you could argue how big the window is.
Mm-hmm.
But between 10,000 and a few hundred thousand years of experience of hunt, gather, campfire, cave.
Right.
You know. Socialize.
We're not doing campfire cave.
If it's two of you,
yeah.
You know,
or more, or more.
Who knows, right? Like don't get Puritarian about it. Or mate, if it's more than two of you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so
the whole tribe.
Mate, if it's one of you.
Yes.
Kind of lonely then,
mm-hmm.
But you know.
Aww.
Oh, poor cave guy.
I hope you have no incels.
Poor girl.
You don't have any incels as your.
I don't know. I don't even know if people know what incels are.
Oh God, they're scary.
Yeah. Well, no. This is like. You know, this actually came up in one of the panels, and I didn't get to talk about it because I try to like whoever my guests are, I try to make them comfortable, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't get it back there. But yeah, I mean, incels are extremely important, and they're one of the reasons that China is constantly on the brink of unrest because they're 3% more men than
there
are
really?
Women. Yeah, so there's no mate for 3% of the men. They're pissed.
Yeah. Well, Alaska, too, I think, is like...
Oh, Alaska, forget it. Well, but Alaska is like, you know, usually that's an economic adventure for people, and they consider it temporary. You know, I know people live there. I'm not putting down native, you know, full-time, never-leaving Alaskans.
It also
But a lot of people come for business,
yeah.
And they leave when they're done.
No, also, a lot of people are attracted to Alaska as like a, you know...
I want to go there.
Like wild.
That's our next trip.
Yeah.
We do another cross country trip. You know,
nice.
we do the cross country.
Oh wow!
I want to go to Alaska and say it's the only place we can get three kinds of bears like next to each other.
Why would you want to be in that position?
Well, I have the big van, right? So whatever, you know, they're not gonna beat the van.
Yeah, no.
It's still a crazy van.
It was nice knowing you, Matt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not gonna cuddle with them in their cave.
I wouldn't. No. No, that's not.
The visual.
No.
You're a visual learner, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes. I'm envisioning it now.
But I might camouflage. They might not even realize. You know, I am one quarter Sasquatch, so you know, they might not even think, hey, what is this guy?
It's
is he a bear?
Us. It's one of us.
It's one of us. He's a big one. All right, let's leave him alone.
Yeah. I don't know how we got here.
To me cuddling with bears?
Yes.
In Alaska? Alaskan bear cuddling.
Yeah.
Only here, heard it here on the Technocrat Live.
three kinds of bears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me just go back to the sheet because try to get back on the rails. I don't know. Are there any rails in this show? I mean, I don't really need rails.
I've only been here twice.
Where we're going, we don't need rails.
We don't need rails. But I feel like it diverges very, very often.
Right, right. I'm misquoting. Well, I guess it could be the third one, Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I ruined Back to the Future. Yeah, it involves a train.
2-month rule.
Yeah, 2-month rule. 1-month rule. 1 month. 1 month. I don't care. 1 month, you're on your own, man. I have a 1-month rule here.
Okay.
So if there's anything pop culture, you can't spoil it.
Oh, okay.
For
Got
less
it.
Than a month.
Got
yeah, like
it.
If you went to the theater last week and saw something that just came out, I don't want to hear about it because
right,
people
obviously.
Are busy.
Yeah.
You know, like. Yeah, the
no spoilers.
No
spoilers. Yeah, it's like a rude thing to
I saw
do.
Angry Birds 2 last week, and I think it came out 2 weeks ago, and I can't talk about it because
not
it's
yet.
2 weeks old.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I will say it's good. So, believe it or not, I actually had a ridiculous can't-breathe laugh.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't it a kid's show?
It's all adult comedians acting the parts.
Oh, that's funny.
And they put a lot of sanitized versions of adult jokes.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like The Hangover Part 5.
Really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's really good.
Okay.
And apparently, I didn't get to see all of one, but the parts I saw in one were really good too. So, yeah, not what you would expect. But, and I love Angry Birds too. Good game. TLC's really starting to kick in now. So
yeah. Nice. I was just thinking, is it liquor?
Water.
Liquor? Yeah, I'll have some. Thank you.
I'm good. Good. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you.
But liquor? You know what? No, my guests are also polite.
Yeah.
They really are.
The thank yous and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Take what you want. That's sake, by the way.
Yeah, I was here when the sake was
oh,
open.
Oh, right. You were on the here. Panel. Okay. Yeah. Well, at least you know I'm not
do
lying.
Do you want to have some?
Sure. Why not? I usually drink when my guests drink. That's my role.
So, let's see. Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
We can do it the Viking way to make sure I'm not poisoning you, because then I poison myself. Right?
That's right.
That's why they used to. That's why they did that. They clinked the glasses together so the drinks spill into each other.
Oh, really?
Yep. That was the origin of that.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So, also, you could do the Princess Bride situation where you
right.
slowly became
resistant to iocane powder.
There you go.
Yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
Because nobody wins that land
dun,
war.
Dun, dun. Oh. Splash.
All right. Yes. I like that. From now on, I'm going to say splash when I do that.
Okay.
I'm always looking for new shticks. We had a Segway shtick for like 22 episodes, but it's gotten my writing sense
mm-hmm.
won't let me say it anymore, because I had an ominous problem in my book where everything was ominous.
Okay.
And my wife read it and she's like, "Why is everything in the book ominous?" I'm like,
"It's just the way I."
It was only like 12 times, but it was key scenes. So yeah, I was.
You mean the word ominous?
The word ominous. I over ominoused.
You use the word ominous
too much. Yes.
12 times.
12 times in the book. Or like 14 or something like that.
How many pages?
There's 240 book.
I mean, pages. I'll allow it. I mean, it's not that unique.
It wasn't, you know, apparently it stood out. Like, she just got, it was like she was just getting hit in the face with ominous water balloons over and over and over.
Okay.
And she was just like, "This sucks. I hate this."
Okay.
I hate your book.
You can't use it.
No,
so what was the segue? Anyway.
The segue was, you know, the it was not an ominous segue.
I just like I don't know how.
Well, I think we jumped the segue shark, like around episode 15, where there was where we realized that the owner of Segway actually died because his Segway went off a cliff. This really happened.
Oh, okay. For real?
For real, right?
Oh, okay.
So originally it was like a non sequitur.
Wait, you mean,
I mean
Segway?
Segway, like a non sequitur, but also like a Segway. Because Isaac wanted to know.
You're being
met
punny?
Isaac.
You're being punny?
Isaac was being punny. He started it.
Oh, man. Was he the guy
Show
who was
one.
Sitting right
yeah,
there?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, man. I wish I would have hit him when I had the chance. Like, he's terrible.
You know, he's a real legit hacker, so you might not want to threaten
know,
him in
I
the
know,
distance.
I know,
he's probably, he knows all. In fact, it's a little odd sometimes how he'll call or text, right, at odd
he's
moments.
Like, I didn't think
he doesn't even have to watch this stuff. He just has a script search for animal cruelty in YouTube videos, and then he comes up with robots.
He's, like, cracked into every single, like, microphone. So, like, he has, like, keyword searches and such.
Here's to you.
Isaac. Isaac?
Yeah, Isaac.
Isaac.
Yes.
Stop making jokes, Isaac.
All right. So, you two are pretty funny. Like, did you guys go at it during the show at all? Or
a little bit, but then once I learned that he's, like, a hacker and, like, could, like, destroy my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to, like...
Right, right. So I think he's actually, for the most part, he does penetration testing now. Mm-hmm. So I think he's like 80% straight-laced
now.
I'm
not saying anything about that.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, no, I think he's mostly straight-laced. I mean, you know, not everybody's good. Some people are blatantly bad and blatantly criminal. And, well, technically it's illegal to do stuff to them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares. You know?
Right.
So, you know, there's always that playground for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can always hack your own stuff, too. So you can be a full-blown hacker coming out with exploits, rocking the world, and not doing anything bad to anyone.
Right.
So, you know, it's a whole hacker-cracker thing. So,
right.
You guys talked about that, I think.
We did.
You did. I remember.
But then he's like, well, no one uses the word cracker anymore.
He's right. No one does. It got bored. It got bored. Well, you know what? The press doesn't pick up this stuff.
Well, it doesn't mean you have to give up the fight, Matt.
Well, I'm not going to. Look
loud.
At me. I have my own freaking show. How much more not can I give up the fight?
It's cracker.
Can I say that? Is that good English? That's
how much
English.
More? Wait, let's break it down. How much more could I not give up the fight?
Yeah. Okay. That's
it's hard, but
it's legit.
It works.
It's awkward, but it's technically.
It's ominous.
It's an ominous sign of future hackage. So, all right. So you actually posted something on social media about cheap cars. right?
Oh,
and
yes.
Keeping old cheap cars. And I completely agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't. So I was thinking about it. So
Let's discuss.
Let's talk
it.
About hybrids and electrics.
Oh, from an environmental standpoint,
well, not
you're
just,
saying
not
it's irresponsible.
Screw the planet. The planet will take care of itself.
Ooh,
humans
I don't
are
like
in
that.
Trouble.
Yeah.
Humans are in trouble.
Yeah.
We're
yes.
screwed.
Yes, but because we're fucking with the planet. Oops.
Yeah. No, no, it's okay. You say fuck.
I can?
Yeah, it's PG-13.
Nice.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You can say fuck with PG-13?
Fuck, yeah, yeah.
I say fuck a lot.
There's no...
PG-13 is one fuck per the entire week.
You know what? I don't even care what PG-13 is. I am...
13-year-old kid PG-13.
Wait, are you...
This is an adult show, all right?
Fucks,
if you're not an adult, go away.
Matt, this is important. Are you bleeping out some of the fucks?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, please. That would your fucks are beautiful.
Thank you. As are yours.
I really said that out loud.
Let's
as are mine.
That was an innuendo.
That was an innuendo. That was not intentional.
No, I know. That's what makes it more funny, Matt.
I'm never gonna live that one down.
No.
Maybe I'll make that the clip for this show.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we're friends, or I'd be under arrest.
I don't give a fuck.
You don't give. Well, that's true.
I don't give
yes.
a fuck. So.
Yeah. So yeah, hybrid cars.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly, they double your fuel economy if you use them on a daily basis and you live in a city.
I haven't thought of that. It was very irresponsible of me, but I have not thought of
but
that
I've
argument.
Heard it's fine. You have to be right about everything. No one's right about everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the quickest way to tell a liar is when they say they're right
yes.
about everything.
I'm wrong here. I
yeah.
think that to the extent that you have an old car and you can, like, retrofit it so that it could have technology that makes it more fuel efficient, go
for
it.
You know you can do that.
Yeah.
This is actually something that came up on the show.
Yeah.
You can actually put a battery. They have wheels now. You can. It's only for a couple of cars, but it looks... Let's see about longevity. It's going to take a couple of years before it really kicks off. But they actually, you can, if you replace the whole rib and hub assembly, same unsprung weight, so no penalty. They have a motor where you can 100 horsepower per wheel. So each wheel, you replace the tire and rim and the hub with their tire, rim, hub, and brake. You get 100 horsepower.
Nice.
Of electric energy,
nice.
Of electric power.
Beautiful.
So I mean, four wheels is enough to. For any truck, pretty much.
Right.
Because it's 100 horsepower and it's an electric engine.
If you don't have any weight on it. But then
it's
also...
It's going to be even more torque, so it's going to be 500 torque at least, for sure.
So my husband loves to fix old cars. So we have, like, every old car imaginable at my house. Like, there's not a single car in my house.
You have all the cars, huh?
Yeah, all the cars.
Nice.
No, we don't have a lot of them, but
oh, okay.
they all have, like, 150 or more thousand miles on them.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's a middle ground. But yeah, I totally respect that too at the same time. I mean, you know, I've had some old clunkers.
Yes.
So.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, so I've had some, I've been stranded plenty of times.
Do you share the story about there's nothing to see here situation?
No, I haven't. You want me to tell that story?
I mean,
or do you want to tell the story?
I can tell you what I remember of it.
Right. It's totally legally safe, and I didn't do anything wrong. So
you didn't do anything wrong.
Why the hell would I not share it?
But I think it's like under pressure that you were funny.
Yeah.
So that was funny.
Well, under pressure and groggy and just woke up from passing out.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So Matt was driving his, what kind of car was it?
It was a 66 Biscayne.
There you go. And I don't know how it happened.
67 Biscayne, sorry.
67 Biscayne. I don't remember how it happened, but there was a collision between you and a...
Building.
A deli.
I knocked over a Street Fighter II inside of the deli.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you really?
Yes,
I
actually,
didn't know that.
And that was a really popular game at the time, so I'm lucky I didn't hurt someone.
Right.
Because I could, you know, like, I went, like, Kool-Aid Man style through a cement wall at the front of the car.
It was no joke.
And the video game was knocked over by it. So
right.
if someone was standing there, they would have been squished.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just... By the grace of God, no one got hurt. I mean, you got hurt.
Yeah, I got a little hurt.
You got a little hurt.
It was
a serious accident. And
please,
you passed out. And you passed
it
out.
Was a serious accident.
And, like, the ambulance was taking him out, and there was, like, a crowd around him.
Right.
And he's like...
I had got hit in my head in the steering wheel because it was just lap belts.
Right.
You know, and I got knocked out.
Yeah,
and I woke up, and, like, there's a crowd, and the ambulances are coming.
And you were like, there's nothing to see here.
There's nothing to see here in a British accent.
Oh.
There's nothing to see here. Move along. Move along. Please move along. There's nothing to see here. It's totally, like, total chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pretty close to the Naked Gun scene where the fireworks factory explodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like that really encompasses Matt Newhall.
It really does.
Like, only shit like that.
What could have caused all this?
Yes.
That's actually a quote from Jay about an accident he saw.
Oh, really?
Once. Yeah. That one was not my fault either.
I know.
I had a lot of not my fault back then.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, old cars are...
Poo-poo-poo.
Yeah, they look cool, but they didn't drive so great.
No, they didn't.
Okay, well, that was a very short discussion.
I would say, to the extent that you could fix anything and you take pride and joy from doing it, do it.
I'm really excited that people are starting to hack electric cars a lot more on the internet. Hybrids seem like they would be worse because you're adding more parts in and it adds more complexity. But the electric components are so simple,
mm-hmm.
it really doesn't. It just adds weight. That's mm-hmm. it. That's all it does. And cars don't really care that much about weight. It just makes them handle worse, which this much of the population actually uses the handling.
Right.
I'm in here, by the way. But, you know, most people, they don't.
Bad, Matt.
Yeah, yeah.
You really need to, like... Going to another building.
No. Actually, I've been pretty good. So, right. Yeah. The building thing was not my fault, though.
I know.
But the building thing was not my fault, okay? It actually legally, I even had an insurance company completely on my
side.
Yeah,
no. 100%.
Someone else ran me off the road, and, you know, hopefully he's not pissed about that now. Now he knows how to find me.
Uh-oh.
But, someone was coming head on in the wrong direction of traffic.
Yes.
And I avoided him and hit a wall. So that was actually a good move.
Right.
You know, like, it sounds like,
and you
hit a wall, what an idiot.
And
like, or head on collision.
Yeah, it was on a busy street, so you would have certainly caused havoc.
Yeah, it would have been more problems if I didn't
Absolutely.
Do what I did. So, I feel pretty good about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, otherwise, I wouldn't have had a sense of humor. Or maybe I would have. I was a little loopy, so.
Right.
All right, so what are the risks of being a lawyer?
Everyone thinks you know everything. And yes, it's very strange. So, like, it could be like the most random law, random obscure law, and they'll just think
right.
you should know it.
How many, like, if you had to take law and break it into like what you think a reasonable person, how a reasonable person would categorize different pieces of different areas of law? What are the areas of law that people know? I mean, obviously, you can
like
specialize
personal to injury,
you can
I
specialize
guess.
To a single piece of code, right?
Right.
But like what are typical?
Like personal injury is a typical one. Criminal law is a typical one. Copyright law.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are the main ones, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like the big meat and potato ones.
Right.
There's admiralty law. I mean, it goes down to like a million different types.
Right.
Landlord-tenant law.
I know at one point you had mentioned you were interested in intellectual property law.
Mm-hmm.
Were you just didn't find work in that, or you decided that that was lucrative, or?
No. I mean, I wasn't particularly interested in doing anything except for, I wanted to work in government. I wanted to.
Right. So I mean, because
be
like
a public servant.
It seems what I heard from you, and I've heard this from other lawyers too, is that if you want to specialize in something, you can. You should. You can and you should.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's new. I know that you should,
mm-hmm.
and then it's just a matter of sitting down and doing the work and reading through the relevant laws and relevant case law.
Yeah, the reality is like.
You could theoretically be a lawyer for everything.
You could be
if
a lawyer. Yeah,
to do
you
the
can.
Work.
I mean, unless you wanted to do like admiralty law, I think you need like a specialty.
What is that?
Rain.
Like yeah.
Really heavy rain.
And lightning.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like. The law of in the sea.
Right, right. I heard this thing that courts have three different modes. Is that true, or
what do you mean?
They have the admiralty law actually can be invoked in any courtroom, any criminal courtroom,
mm-hmm.
and that like you change the mode into the admiralty mode.
I have no idea.
Right.
I have no idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I you know I was like. And on the one hand, part of me was just like, you know, popcorn.
Yeah.
And the other part, I'm like, verification. That's crickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like.
But each court has, like, separate jurisdictions. So, like, each court can hear certain matters. Like, they're mm-hmm. limited to whatever matters they're able to hear. But really, being a lawyer is learning the skill of being a lawyer. And then learning the type of law, the specialty is something that you develop over time. Like both you develop over time, but really, you can learn one specialty and just move into another specialty and, you know, learn that
right.
relatively quickly.
Right.
It's kind of like coding,
right?
Where it's
oh, it's like languages and coding.
Languages and coding.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Nice analogy.
Yeah.
So I guess you like analogies.
I like analogies.
Right.
Yeah.
I do too.
Me too.
I had a pretty spirited discussion on the first show with Isaac about this,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, "I don't really like analogies because then people take them too far." I'm like, "Yeah, but you just got to know when to stop."
So what? Like, so what though?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean too far?
Well, I just, you know, I use it. I get the concept, and then I'm out of there.
Yeah.
Right. But so he's like, you know, some people
they're married to it and they have to see
it
all the way through.
They never, you know what? That probably happens when they don't understand the concept.
Mm-hmm.
They never got the concept. They never got the payload from using an analogy in the first place.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's not good.
I think, like, I probably love analogies since I grew up in my household, like, full of artists. And I feel like it's a very artistic kind of thing.
Artists?
Freaking artists.
How quaint.
I know.
Well, what was that like? I mean, who was... I know that your father was a musician.
My father was a musician.
Right.
And my brother is a musician. My sister... Well, we all like art. We are all very artistic.
Right.
It's hard to say, but my nephew is... lives for music, so...
In case people are watching. What's up, peeps?
What's up? Shout out. So, all artists.
Yeah. Right. For me, my mom was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, my mom was a mess, but then she was a teacher.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, after the divorce, she was like, you know, trying to get her life together.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like, she was an emotional mess, but not always. That's kind of I don't want to say that because that's a miss. But, like, it was just like, there was a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, once she was a teacher, she eventually became a math teacher, which should give you an insight into her personality immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I compared her, I think, favorably to McGonagall in the,
nice.
Harry
okay.
Potter. She liked that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, yeah, that's kind of how she was. So it was kind of like,
right.
You know. So, like, I was artsy, but she was not. And she was a lefty, too, which just makes her weirder.
Right.
Right, I'm a righty, so mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, what?
Yeah, well, you're a good blend.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, you're artistic. You played drums. I don't know if you still do.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's been a while. I'm a little out of... I'm rusty. Mm-hmm. But, yes, I love the drums.
Nice.
And I've even been thinking about mucking around more with music to try to come up with something for the show. I want to do it myself. I've actually had a very generous offer from my coworker Steve to do some kind of intro, but I think I want to try it myself, which may be tragic or may just serve as a retarded, broken, backwards crayon stick figure art version
nice.
Of what I want, and then he'll look at it and go, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
Do you mean
and
for
write
the show?
Something real.
Do you mean for the show?
Yeah, I really want an intro for the show.
Okay.
You know, I'm jealous of the guys on the Everyday Nonsense podcast. They have their own intro. They had a musician write it for them.
Do a drum intro, man, just like all drums. I would freaking love that. No, like harder.
Okay. Like Immigrant Song, double pedal, but Immigrant Song.
Yes, yes. All right, I'm going to use this platform in case, I can't remember who sings Voodoo. Can you look up who sings Voodoo? Godsmack, is it?
Yeah, Godsmack.
Okay. I have a message for the singer of Godsmack.
Fact checker level alpha.
Okay, I was at a Godsmack concert, and I was totally feeling the song Voodoo. I was like totally feeling it. I was totally there.
It's a trancy song.
Totally trancy. And that's the whole purpose of it, right?
Right.
It was really
I played a lot of video games to that song because it was
good
to just kind of like, vroom, I'm out of reality. I'm in the video game.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. So now they accomplished their freaking mission. I was there.
Mhm.
And they were doing like this like drum like battle.
Mhm.
I think one of them was playing hand drums and the other one was playing what is it called when you play a kit. And they were like, they were doing an amazing job. But he just wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Right.
Like the entire time he kept interrupting the flow. Why? Can you please explain this to me? And also, can you do me a favor and shut the fuck up, man?
Right. Yeah, that's weird.
I had to let that out.
Right.
This is like the one and only time I'm ever going
to... Well, we're flow interrupters inherently. So for a flow interrupter to say,
drummers
you're interrupting
are?
The flow. No, no, you and me.
We are?
Yeah. Well,
oh, that sucks.
No. It's
Why?
Not bad. Because people... Sometimes people will get a rhythm and then they'll have their own drum beat.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
this is a metaphor too. It's not just okay, literally music.
Okay, I hear your metaphor.
You hear my metaphor?
I hear your metaphor.
Yes, she hears my metaphor.
Yes.
Right. So, like, you know, I'll see someone about to go into a very dumb place and mm-hmm. form a new opinion about something they don't know about.
Right.
And I actually know about it, and I'm like, no.
Stop.
Don't do that. You'll regret it.
Yeah. Or like the witch hunts. Like
yeah.
Where like people are just like, yes, the flow's great, and like they're
right.
going into like this
right,
path,
right.
and you're like, what the holy fuck are you doing?
You're like, wow, this kind of feels like Salem.
Yeah.
Salem's cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, this is a terrible idea, guys. Yeah.
If it floats, it must be a witch.
Yeah. Like, wow, this is the dumbest shit I've ever fucking heard. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, so that. Yeah,
right.
That's flow interruption. Like, good
flow
interruption.
Right. It's just a tool.
That is bad.
It can't be good or bad. You know, it's just a tool. Well, it can be good or bad.
It could be used for evil, and I feel like...
He used it for evil.
I'm like, you're defeating the whole purpose.
Nice.
You're defeating, because you just want to freaking hear yourself talk.
So, people, please, if I ever use my flow interruption for evil, mm-hmm. let me know. I want to know. So,
yeah.
Hopefully I use it for good only.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, flow interruption.
Here's the flow.
Oh, look at
Which
that.
Which also,
like
if
mine.
You have any, like... thing to add about flow, I'm actively seeking. Remember how you said you were actively seeking and mulling over comedy?
Right, yes.
You were just like in the beginning phase
yes.
of it?
I spent a lot of time on comedy recently.
Yes.
In the past few years.
So I'm actively seeking information on flow.
Really?
So to the extent that you have
You're
going to
like my questions at the end.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's just go to it. Why not? Who cares? Things don't have to be in order. This order is pointless.
Fuck the
no
flow,
point.
Man.
Let's go with the flow of the conversation. So workspace, you know, like when you're at work,
mm-hmm.
you know, like what is your environment? Like I'm not, so obviously it's different when you're in a courtroom,
mm-hmm.
but like the rest of the time when you're,
right.
you know, and you're not meeting with a client, of course that has its, well, maybe let's talk about each.
This is like my favorite subject.
Yay!
You're hitting all the right...
All right, good night, folks. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, so my job is very important to me, and I lead up a team of attorneys,
mm-hmm.
And we're civil investigators,
right.
civil enforcement.
Right.
And to me, I think the workplace and the environment in the workplace is like of utmost importance.
Mm-hmm.
If you want your team to be creative and to be motivated and enthusiastic about what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
you need to give them the space to do it. You need to give them the room to grow and the room to do what they need to do and just not get in their way.
Interesting. So like, this is kind of what we're talking about, right? So if you get into a situation where you see they're about to go down the wrong path and waste a whole bunch of client hours, whoever the client is,
mm-hmm.
you know,
New York State.
Where you waste a bunch of client hours on something that's not going to bear any fruit,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you get it? That information to them without hurting
their
feelings.
Wow, that is a great question. So now
exactly a problem that comes up all the time in code.
All the time. So now many times I've been like, this is a terrible effing idea.
Just do not do this.
Right? Like we work in an environment.
No, don't beat around the bush.
Yeah, we can talk like that to each other, but I've been wrong so much. I felt so right, but I was so wrong.
Wow.
I now know better.
Like a bodybuilder running into traffic because he can stop cars with his mind.
Right.
Yes,
you can't.
Yeah.
Right, so although I am the leader of a group of attorneys,
mm-hmm.
having faith in them and like talking things through and not thinking that my ideas are better than theirs really goes a long way because we have such great diversity in our investigators and
right.
our attorneys. So,
I got a lot of love on a post I had just put up. Somebody put a post up about Stanley, and mm-hmm. I liked it, but I was like, I can do better than that.
Okay.
I think it did. I think it did do better.
Okay.
So I think, like, for me, the best message out of Marvel
mm-hmm.
is that not only can you succeed in spite of who you are, you can succeed because of who you are. You know, if you're different, that's a huge bonus. Maybe not in every situation, but some situations, yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the time, most downsides are actually upsides. You just have the wrong context.
Right. Well, the reality is, I feel as though oftentimes you get like an arrogance, like, yeah, it's true that maybe this won't work, or maybe this isn't the way that you would do it, but that doesn't mean it's not the right way, or it's not going to be productive.
Right.
Especially when you have, like, latitude.
Right.
On something.
Well, like, for me, so I've been expecting somebody to say, I'm surprised you said that to me.
Why?
I figured it would happen sooner or later. Someone would say, oh, I'm surprised you said that because they heard
about diversity?
About something. About whatever.
Okay,
it is.
Just that whatever.
Yeah, they heard, I'm surprised you said that to me about something I said on the show. And I'm thinking, well, I'd never promise not to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, how does, when you're sure you're right and you tell people to stop and then you find out later you're wrong.
Well, I stop saying stop.
Oh, you stop.
I stop saying stop. So what I do now is, I mean, unless it's like a hard stop, like, no, that's the dumbest shit I ever heard. No.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's rare to happen.
Right, right.
But no, I stop saying stop. I recognize now that we're two very smart individuals with diverse backgrounds and we see things totally different. So now we talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we can.
You're gonna come up with a stronger case because of that?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Absolutely. 100%.
Right.
So, your tax dollars at work, people, we really, really want the best. So,
you had that conversation where somebody said, you're a public servant, get me a glass of water?
No.
No. Okay.
We've had a lot of success with our team,
right.
Luckily and thankfully.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a George Carlin bit. You know, he's talking to a cop. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a public servant, get me a glass of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Everyone just laugh at him. Oh,
yeah.
Laugh with me. Silly person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but no, I mean, you grow. You grow. And like we have some people who are extraordinarily particular about, you know, enforcing every little last thing.
Mm-hmm.
And good for them. That's them, you know. And some people are more particular about enforcing like the bigger meat
letter
and potato
or spirit.
Stuff.
Is it kind of like that?
I think everybody considers both spirit and letter, but
I
think some people are more focused on this and some people are more focused on that.
Oh, okay. So they consider both, but they're mm-hmm. natural at one more than the other.
Right. And then some people like big cases, some people like little cases.
Right. Okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So how about, like, does anybody like use like a standing office or people?
Yeah, so we are actually changing the big head honchos have made decisions about our new offices. We're going to be moving soon.
Right.
And so there's going to be standing offices. There's going to be all glass.
But you guys have privacy, right? Yeah, everyone's got their own room, or at least they can go someplace.
They have cubicles.
Okay.
And there's a privacy room so that you can go inside and make privacy.
Yeah, most offices, most tech offices are the same thing.
Privacy rooms?
Yeah, cubicles with privacy rooms.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so if, like, you know, you could communicate with people, you just, hey, you know, go for it.
Right.
You know, hey, what's going on over there? I see something changing the code, you know?
Right.
Right. But at the same time, you can be like, I got to take this. You
right.
know, go close
that's
the door.
That's great.
Everyone
because we didn't
you.
Have that. And like you could
really?
Yeah, we didn't have that
what
until recently.
You guys are lawyers. How
right.
can you not have privacy?
Right.
I mean,
so, I mean,
it's
got to
be sensitive matters
with
sometimes.
Well, since we all work for the same people.
Right. Yeah, yeah, okay. I see it. Yeah, because you're on the same team. You're working
We're
for
on
the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I guess it would be more of a problem in a private practice where cases might be more segmented per lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, this is kind of a segue. A segue into, but it's the same topic. So, like,
are you 100% sure he fell off the cliff?
He absolutely wrote his
Are you 100% sure?
Steve already fact-checked it, but, yep. I got the snap yes.
Oh my god.
The dudes.
All right, let's move on. I mean, it's a very depressing freaking thought.
There might be a case there.
I'll take that case.
He can sue himself. He can sue his own company.
Right. No.
segue.
I mean, there's so many other people to
Well,
sue.
You know what? This is so all right. This is really kind of we'll come back to this because
okay.
I know you're having fun with this. But so this actually who knows what that code was on that segue? Right?
Well,
you know, it probably was closed source to his company. And even though he's the president or what the current owner of the company.
It's not automated, though.
No, but what I'm saying is, no, the Segway totally is. The Segway is very automated. All the balance is done by a gyroscope and the computer figuring out which way the...
But what about steering?
You're leaning forward or leaning back, and it figures out if you're leaning side to side. That's how it steers. It's a leaning calculation.
But couldn't there be like user errors?
Well, there could be user errors. Sure. I mean, everyone. This is the problem. Whenever something where a computer is controlling a guidance system on a vehicle of any sort, everyone just assumes it's a user error. How do you know?
Yeah,
did you audit the code?
No, you can't.
You didn't fucking audit the code, motherfucker.
Right, right.
You know? I mean, it's
and
very...
And also, like, the evidence is probably
there
destroyed.
I'm not even going to say which one, but there is a case of actually, I don't remember the name, so I'm not even going to say it. Well, no, I remember, but you know what? I'm not going to say it. It doesn't matter. But every time, and I'm sure it'll happen again, right, because car accidents are pretty frequent in this country, every time somebody famous dies in a drive-by-wire car, I raise an eyebrow. You know, did they crash or did their car crash them?
Can you raise an eyebrow? I mean, yeah, you can.
Yes, I can.
You can.
Yes, yes. That's among my many talents. Yes. Most of them are useless. But yes, I raise an eyebrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, you know, if you can't see the code, I mean, I'm not blaming the police departments mm-hmm. that do the investigation. But they'll come out and they'll be like, we have declared that this was an accident. It's
right.
Like, how the fuck would you know? You
well,
can't even look at the source code.
It's still an accident.
But it might not be. Someone could have put
murder,
something in the code for their, I mean, you know, like especially if it's that most cars, like for example, have telematic systems that mm-hmm. are, I'm just telling you, this is fact. Most cars have telematic systems that connect to their central computer. Now, the details of the authentication vary per manufacturer, per car. But, I mean, you know, a lot of manufacturers have the ability to to send signals to the cars or even update code on the cars. You know, if you know what their VIN number is because you have the records of who bought the car, you could kill them.
Right.
You know, if you were somebody, if you had somebody who had commit access and no one else would question it when you committed something, you could put something in there to kill them and then, you know, two iterations later, take it back out. And if nobody ever looks at the code, no one would ever know.
The Segway would have to have a receiver, though.
Right, right. Well, I'm assuming that, like, most things come with Wi-Fi these days, mm-hmm. right? So you'd have to put it on, you know, the cars are typically, the telematic systems are connected to a cell phone network. But the Segway, I'm assuming it would be something like you connected it to Wi-Fi so you could read its battery life or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes. It doesn't have to be the intent
right.
to control, the remote control.
Right.
You just have to have access to it, and then you can break in and it could do something it was mm-hmm. not meant to do.
I mean, that's a good point. That's
you know?
A good point.
I mean, I don't even know how to... It's another one of those things like where, you know, the de facto and the de jure are so far apart, I don't even know what to do.
I mean, the reality is there's just so many things to investigate. There's so many things you have to choose.
Right. Well, I have a suggestion for this, actually,
okay.
And this is something I'd love to see come up law-wise. There should be a law that if you have a device, an Internet of Things device, which basically means anything that's on the Internet, which is just about everything these days, there has to be a tactile physical switch that disconnects the Internet.
Yeah, you were saying that in the earlier
panel. I said
panel.
The panel, right.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's, I think, the solution.
Like a kill switch.
Like a kill switch. There may be other solutions, but that one will work
mm-hmm.
for sure. Then there will be no
question.
Well,
I think that people would like that.
I don't understand. Like, it's amazing to me. To me, that's a sign our system's at least behind,
mm-hmm.
if not broken.
Right.
Hopefully it's behind.
Or alternatively have like a dampening something that you can control everything within a certain like radius.
Right. Well, the problem with that is that again you can hijack it. So a quick example, like older OnStar systems used to connect to pre-3G AT&T networks. Right? So those are shut off. They're off. Right now, the only things that are active are 3G and 4G.
Right.
So,
but no, I mean not.
But the cars are still talking to a network that doesn't exist. If you set up an antenna on the side of the road, you can control it.
Yeah, but let's say you have like something that centralized in your home that had like a parameter around your home,
mm-hmm.
and it just killed everything.
Oh, like a Faraday cage. If you have a metal cage that blocks all electrical
right.
signals,
something
that's a
like
Faraday
that.
Cage.
Something like that. Or
some buildings inadvertently become Faraday cages because they have so much metal in them
mm-hmm.
that you go in the building and you just get no reception.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've done that in my car. My telematic system is surrounded by Mylar, and it's also the antenna is disconnected. That's
mm-hmm.
probably the more meaningful part. But just in case there was a secondary antenna, I put a Mylar bag
mm-hmm.
over it. I also put Mylar bags over my Easy Passes, so the RFIDs can't be remotely read. I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a scandal. It hit the papers. The city was doing traffic analysis based on people's Easy Passes in non-Easy Pass stations. They just set up random receivers
mm-hmm.
to try to figure out traffic flow. On the one hand, yay, they're trying to figure out traffic flow.
Right.
On the other hand, oh my God, what are you doing? Nobody
right.
agreed to this. This is
right.
exactly what this is the second worst case of exactly what people were complaining about, tracking their every movement. You know, so I put mine in a Mylar bag.
But is it individualized? Like, what are they tracking? Are they tracking?
Well, they're tracking the RFID tag, which is connected to your EasyPass, which is connected to your EasyPass account. So, like, once they have that RFID number, they can find out who you are. You know.
Right, but they could have.
They may not do it right away. They may have anonymized databases where things are segmented and people are acting responsibly. But are people reacting responsibly?
Probably not.
Maybe. Sometimes. I think half the time they are.
Mm-hmm.
But it only has to be once that they're not.
Or, I mean, it's just that you just have not created a foolproof method of, like, anonymizing it. Like,
right.
You tried.
Right.
But there's a way around it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is already an understood problem. I mean, nothing's fully understood, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is already an understood problem because we do this with medicine. Right, so medicine, the HIPAA laws require that you anonymize medical data, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we know how to do this, but that doesn't mean, you know, usually that system, what people don't realize is there's always people involved in these systems.
Right.
You know, and they're the technocrats. No. They're in charge,
yes.
You know, and they may be responsible and they may be irresponsible. You know, the guy writing the code or the algorithm that you know, sorts the YouTube videos may be responsible or irresponsible. His boss or his boss's boss or his boss's boss's boss may be responsible or irresponsible. And, you know, those weak links mean the system may not work as intended. You know, usually the typical drill at a company is when you're doing HIPAA compliance, you create a database and you create access controls on the system so that only certain people can see it at certain times, and then everybody signs a paper that says we did this.
Right.
And then maybe an auditor comes in, makes sure all the papers are signed, and might look at the system, and you know, will look at some of the things on the system. Remember, like I mentioned in the news, that there was that web administration console had a root exploit hole in it. Nobody looked at that for years. It was almost 2 years.
Right.
That was sitting there. It was a back door too. It wasn't even like an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So nobody. And this kind of thing happens. It's not just open source. It's just an open source. We hear about it. Closed source, it happens too. We just don't hear about it.
Right. You can't hear about it because no one is auditing it.
Right. No one is auditing it.
And
no
the people
process.
Who are auditing it are not going to tell you.
Right. So, like, a person will come in and look at the system, and they'll look for the typical things.
Mm-hmm.
They'll look for the known exploits, the known problems. They may have a pile of signatures they run against things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, and they leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't mean it's safe.
No.
It just means you've created an academic exercise which approximates safe to some degree.
Well, enough that when questioned about it,
right,
that you have due diligence.
Did you do things? I did things.
Yes, I did things.
I did things. I did many things.
Too much.
Here's the list of things I did.
Yes.
Was that list adequate? As far as I know.
Right.
As far as you know, who knows?
Did you
Nobody.
Do the token things? I did do the token things.
I did the happy things.
Yes.
I drew the things on my paper.
And then I wrote it down on a piece of paper.
In crayon.
And I handed it in to someone who was checking my things.
And someone else checked them off in crayon.
And the things were done.
The things were done.
And so the things were done.
Yes. And then no one is liable. The CYA has been completed.
Thank God.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, white collar work's all about the CYA.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there and, you know, see what stuck. But, yeah, I just, who knows? Maybe the guy from, it was the guy from Segway that started this, right? He said,
yes.
Did he really fall off the cliff?
Well, you know,
did someone kill him?
It's a double-edged sword, man. As an investigator, I will tell you there's so much to investigate and limited resources. Like, there's just limited resources. And, you know, it would be great if we could investigate everything, but you can't. It's impossible.
Well, I have good news for you.
What's that?
I have good news for investigators.
Do
which
tell.
Which is, I have recently, this is not new, I just,
okay.
my dullard understanding of it is new.
Mm-hmm.
Anonymity is a strategy, and it's specifically a temporary strategy. So
we have discussed this
yes.
during the panel.
We did discuss
yes.
it during the panel.
I was very
but not everyone,
interested to learn about
watch
that.
The panel if you're interested in this,
mm-hmm.
yes. But so, it really is just a matter of time before you get caught.
Right.
An interest, right?
Right?
If it gets too old, nobody cares. Nobody cares, you know. I mean, we know who killed Caesar, right? You know, and but who killed the guard guarding Caesar? We don't care.
Right.
No one's going to look that up.
No one's going to look it up.
Right.
you know.
Except me.
Except Stevie's going to give us the answer.
Are you really?
He's okay. Good like that. He's really good at this.
He got sleep last night, so I feel he like. Got,
I know he's pretty. He's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like he'll I'm sorry to talk about you like you're not here, but Steve will come to me and he'll be like, hey, did I tell you about this thing? And then he'll tell me about that thing. And I feel like my brain has turned into putty.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows everything about
Steve,
that thing.
You know
he goes
too many whole things.
Hog.
I know a little about a lot.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The well drieth. Uh-oh.
No, going for the diamond.
Really what happens is that, you know, when you're in bed in the middle of the night and you have the thoughts running through your head about things and scenarios and whatever?
Yeah.
You actually Google it after that.
Like that night? Like
yeah,
that night?
At that moment.
Oh, that's what I'm doing wrong. I just asked my wife and she hits me. Go to bed, you idiot! Stop thinking!
I remember I wrote an entire song, pretty much unconscious, and I read it the next morning. I was like, what the hell is this?
Was it good?
It was all right.
It was
right. I mean, the lyrics are pretty okay.
Right, if you don't write it down, you lose it.
Yeah, they're very technocratic, actually, now I think about it.
All right, yes! I am influencing the future of music.
Yes, yes. When you're in it and you're feeling it, it makes perfect sense.
You know what? Actually, I don't know, I haven't really talked to you too much about Syngene. Because a lot of that is when you got busy with law school and stuff. But a lot of my Syngene ideas and were like that. I just wake up. I mean, it happened to me the other day.
Like in a panic.
I wake up in a panic, like, I know what. I like, it, well, words would start going mm-hmm. in my head. I would just start. It was something like, I started writing the first three paragraphs in my dream. It's
wow.
Bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
Completely bonkers.
Well, I mean, honestly, okay, so I swim. I don't know if I told you this.
Oh, no, no.
So I have been swimming a lot lately.
Nice.
And when I was
it's really great to catch up, by the way.
Yeah, it is nice.
All right.
Nice. So I was learning, it's very technical.
Well, okay.
It is. It's like way more technical than I thought.
That's why I'm not good at swimming. I'm always like a beached whale or a seal trying to get out of the pool.
But like I noticed that like I would
go to the ladder.
I would like practice and then be horrible the entire practice, go to sleep, go like the next day, swim.
It said Caesar didn't have any guards at that time.
Who?
That's where he went wrong.
That's what it said. It said Caesar didn't have any guards.
Fake news. Fake news.
Yeah.
From ancient.eu, I found from History Channel, and from...
I don't like the fake news spin. I like her fake news spin. I'm going with that fake news.
I mean, how likely is that?
Who shut the cameras off, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Caesar.
Common sense. He had guards.
It said he was a member of the Praetorian Guard. But it didn't say that he himself had guards at that moment.
Right, right. Yeah.
I mean,
well,
why would you? He was amongst friends.
He had freaking epilepsy. You know, there's no way. I mean, he didn't call it that then.
But he had his friends,
yeah.
Right? Who would do that?
It's you, Brute.
Yeah.
It's you, Brute.
But you know what, though? The reality is, like, every time, like, I read about, like, these royals and military people, and they are murdered by, like, their closest confidants.
Right.
So I feel like he should have expected
it. There's a reason for that. It's cool.
Let's hear it.
So, look, I don't want to cross-promote or anything, but freaking CGP Grey. Is that right, CGP Grey?
I feel like
Grey?
We're doing this a lot.
Yeah, CGP.
Like promoting things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, this
great. You need sponsorship.
His stuff is great out there. He has, so it's just another YouTube. It's a YouTuber. I guess I'm a YouTuber, right?
Right. I mean, is he going to...
Oh, my God, I'm a YouTuber! He makes cartoons, and but he's a teacher and he knows his stuff. And he actually he's done a lot of really smart cartoons. And he nailed it. I don't know what he teaches. He actually lives in England, but he's American.
Okay.
But he refused to switch his accent, so he has an American accent as an American living in England.
Nice.
Probably get some girls. I don't know. I guess so.
I bet so. I bet. I know, like when you're here,
I've heard
you have
that
an accent. I feel like.
Yeah, I got that in New Zealand too.
You get like one extra point.
Yeah, yeah,
you get
you
one
do.
Extra point.
Right, you're
at a uniform. You get two.
Oh, nice.
You're tall. Three.
Well, don't tell them all your secrets here.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it's a known fact.
Right, right.
It's a known fact.
So yeah, that's just you.
Yeah, that's
just everybody.
Me. So that's three. You can get up to 3 points.
But it should be your uniform. Don't put someone else's uniform on.
Yeah, and don't make it a lame uniform.
Yeah.
I don't mean that kind of uniform.
Like the uniform in Stranger Things? Have you seen season 3?
I have not seen it at all.
Okay. You should see. Yeah, it's worth it.
I know. My husband tells me all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's worth it. You know, like if I had to give you like three, That'd be in the top three. So,
okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, they have a. Some people work in a store, and they have really like the dorkiest sailor. Fake sailor uniforms you could have possibly imagined.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. I don't like that's not you're
it's
not getting
spectacularly
points for that.
Awesome because you actually like the characters and you're like, oh, why did they? And they went along with it. Like, mm-hmm. why did they quit? But it's so great. It's so 80s. Anyway, what the hell were we talking about?
Wait. Can I just? I had a thought and I was like, if anyone read Where the Crawdads Sing. Could you tell me your opinion as to whether or not... Oh wait, can I... Is it a spoiler?
Came out 2 months ago?
2 months ago is fine.
No, it came out longer than that.
Oh, fine.
Okay.
You're good.
Whether or not you think she premeditatedly killed him or whether or not you think it was, like, defense. That's all.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, that's all.
All right, yeah, I actually don't know.
I don't know either.
What the heck you're talking about? So
yeah, I don't know.
What
we had
show
a baby,
is it?
We had a no. It was not a show. It was a book.
It's a book. Okay.
Yeah.
So reading books on the train.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, I'm having people read it to me.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that's sometimes less. You know, that way you can keep your eyes open for whatever the heck's going around you because it is New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's way safer than it used to be, but it's still New York. Sometimes
yeah,
some stuff's going down, and you're like. Usually it's just cringe, but occasionally it's scary.
Yeah. Lots of cringe.
Lots of cringe.
Lots of cringe, both nasally and optically. Like, yeah.
Yeah. You know, actually, that I speaking of, we were talking about prejudice before. Well, mm-hmm. a little bit on the show, a little bit off camera too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one thing that I would willing. Like, the one thing that I really, like, feel strongly about that I don't see any prejudice I might have as a problem...
Okay.
Smelly people.
Why is that?
I'm not talking about a little smelly. I'm talking about a lot smelly.
All
because...
Right. So you're a lot smelly. What does this say about you?
It says you actually have no awareness of field
your
theory.
Your projection.
Right. You're just drowning everyone else in what you think is tolerable, and it's the same exact thing as blasting music.
Okay.
Right?
So they're equally as
they both travel in all directions at full speed in the air.
Okay.
It would be like as if I came in blasting rain and blood
mm-hmm.
into my job. And I'm not saying that some people wouldn't be into it, but for sure some people wouldn't be.
Right.
Right?
Right. I would say most people.
Like, I can come in and I can put it on headphones.
Right.
So you could be a little smelly. And I can come in and I could put it on like a small speaker and put it on my desk. It might be mildly annoying. Right? But if I come in with the biggest radio I can afford and just turn it up to 11,
mm-hmm.
you know, 11, yeah, Spinal Tap, I turn it up to 11
what
and everyone has
there?
To listen to it now,
yeah.
Fuck you, you know, yeah, there's a limit. So, yeah that is, I'm pretty sensitive to other people's cultures, but whatever culture that is, guess what, it's time for you to acclimate to our culture.
Right.
And
I feel like there's
spare
no
the air.
Culture.
Spare the air.
Where that's, yeah, spare the air.
Mm-hmm.
Your right to smell ends where my nose begins.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that vicinity.
Yeah. Don't smell.
Yeah. Don't smell. Smell a little. Don't smell a lot. And also, leave some leeway, right?
Freedom to smell. Wait, this is going to be my fucking video cast, right?
Right.
We're going to be talking about smells.
I'm sorry.
Like, damn it. Okay.
But that's the irk. You brought it up, actually.
I did.
You totally opened the door.
I did.
The worst smelly subway car I've ever walked into was actually truly terrifying. Like, immediate gag reflex.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like, for sure, I actually felt... I stopped being mad at that point. I actually felt bad for the person. Like, that person's going to die.
Really?
Yeah.
It was like bodily smell.
Like
death.
It was like death. Yeah. It was like, I can't even... There's no politically correct
like rotting,
way.
Rotting flesh.
Rotting flesh. There's no...
This is.
I can't even talk about it politically the politically correct way. Although I don't have to be politically correct, I like to be when I can. But like I can't even talk about it in terms because nothing will impart the urgency of the death
that was.
Why is that not politically correct, though? That is politically correct.
It's not.
Rotting
it's
flesh
not,
is politically correct.
Not, because the best description I come up with isn't politically correct.
Oh, but what was it?
It was. See, I can't say.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Yeah. I see. Okay, I forget it. I lost you. I see that you held back.
Yeah, I'm holding back.
Hold back.
Because
hold
some
back.
People are visual learners, so I'm trying to spare them the death and horror.
I think they have
you got
put
the picture.
Two and two together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the person wasn't even there anymore. It was just what was left over in the subway car.
It was like residue.
It was
like
visual.
When you walk into a fucking elevator.
It would be like...
And it still smells. And your essence is here.
This will give you an idea how bad what I was thinking is. Like, I could describe it as like 100 mammals died in the vent system in this one car of the subway. There was no one else in it. It was empty. I just went into it not realizing, and then went right back out.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need to ask you a question. So can you fact check this, whether or not this is the most absurd one of these shows? I guess just fact check yourself.
Yeah.
Since you've heard them all, is this like the worst one, like where we're talking about?
Oh. No. He's just trying to drag you into the conversation. Is this the craziest show you've heard on the Technocrat Live?
No.
Okay. No, we're pretty freaking...
All right, good.
We're right in the mean of the curve.
I just want to be right in the mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
You're in
right
the safe
on that
zone.
Bell. Right on that bell.
Technocrat Live gets a little over the top.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely get over the top.
Okay. Way left.
Well, the best... It's the wine. But also, the best part is, we don't have to work at getting over the top. Half the time, it's not what we're talking about. It's what... The technology is bringing onto us.
Right.
It's like, what?
We
How
are not at
normal?
Fault here. We
right.
don't take responsibility here.
Yes. I don't write all the code in the world.
No.
Yeah.
You're doing this to us.
Yes. That's right. You write the code for smelly people.
Right.
All right.
Amen.
All right. So I was talking about Civgene. So I had all these ideas for Civgene.
Mm-hmm.
And like things will just come to me in the middle of the night. And actually...
Yes, I remember this.
Now, I come back around. So the interesting thing is... And I ask you this not because I need a legal opinion, but
okay.
you're smart. You're a polymath. You have lots of weird perspectives. You have a different perspective than me.
Poly from the Greek word meaning many.
Yes. All right, that might be talking down a bit. It is a smart audience. I hope.
I'm just saying.
Let us know if you're not a smart audience in the comments.
Like, it's not really a transaction with Genie unless you know that I'm Greek and...
Steve says, never mind. I'm not doubling down on that. So the horrible thing is, I figured out a whole bunch of stuff that I could talk about.
Okay.
Psychopaths and Civgene and that.
Which I love that.
And then I figured out a few things I can't talk about.
Why?
Because I could see them being abused.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, and actually...
Self-censorship.
I have self-censored myself quite a bit at this point.
Okay.
Actually, one of the reasons the blog has slowed down, I probably could have written an article a month, but maybe like 10 of them were like, I'm not telling anyone that.
Okay.
Because, like, it could actually make psychopaths vulnerable in a way that I would not be okay with.
See?
You know?
I like it. It's called... Personal responsibility.
Right, yeah. But, like, I'm not even sure... You know, it kind of brings up an interesting thing, because when you're being creative, you know, at what point should you just forget that you thought of something? You know, when have you gone too far and you're like, I can't really tell people this because it'll just do more harm than good.
Right.
And, I mean, I could give you examples
know.
Of that
I
happening
struggle,
in the real
I
world.
I struggle with that. Like, if
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because there's, like, a groundswell, right? So,
right.
Like, if we give into this groundswell or if we start a groundswell or...
Right.
Like...
Yeah.
Every voice counts.
Sometimes you just got to say, I'm not going to do that. And like,
I think everyone struggles with that.
Well, you know, so it's funny, for sure, at least the frumpy aspect of it, the absent-minded, you know, I've worked in a bunch of science labs.
Mm-hmm.
The absent-minded professor is real. For sure.
Right.
Lab coat, not looking where he's going, lost
right.
in his own thoughts. You think I'm lost in my thoughts? I'm practically a bouncer, I'm so in the moment.
You know who was
that.
Like that? Carrier, I've recently discovered. The
yeah.
person who invented air conditioners was like that.
Oh, interesting. Very weird.
Yeah.
That's specific.
Just random thought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now you have it, Steve, you have it as well.
Right. So, yeah, so like, really successful, it isn't necessarily correlate with success. It just seems to be a random sampling of the science community.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily even a big one, but they're not. They do exist, for sure.
You okay.
know, the kind of the doofus walking into things, not
yes.
paying attention to what he's doing.
That's a lot of people, though.
I feel like, I feel like the fact that that's true terrifies me because, I mean, it's especially with current events, it's really obvious that some people are not thinking about the ethical implications of the things that their contributions to science, their contributions to the tech world, the contributions to the legal world. People mm-hmm. are just, whoop, just got to win, just got to win, right. just got to win, just got to
well,
win.
Well, and that's us, too, at certain times.
Right.
So, like, we don't see what we don't see.
Well, you know, at least in the legal profession, it's set up so that you have two opposing sides, and if they both do their best, theoretically, most of the time, the right side will win.
Theoretically.
Theoretically. Maybe not all the time.
There are political reasons why that's not true.
We're moving the tablecloth.
Oh, that's me. I'm a chronic. Whoops. I did not spill that.
Spill what?
Nothing.
It's good for the carpet.
Okay. It was just a drop.
We're good.
Okay.
Nice. That's how we know we're having fun here.
Yes.
When we start.
Opa!
when you're not only drinking the drinks, but you're even throwing
spilling
them on the floor.
It. Woo-hoo!
Right, just to
Wait,
see what happens.
Wait, we have it on video. I want to say that I did not do it.
Fake news.
And I feel like we're gonna go back. I do not have the memory to go back.
It's live. It's on the internet forever.
I feel like it wasn't me.
Well, you know, this is one of the reasons I had my kind of tongue in cheek confession.
Okay.
You know, like we haven't talked about this before. We have, but you know, I kind of knew what your reaction would be. But this is one thing I brought up on the show a lot is because. You know, we need to start forgiving people more.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how law plays into that, but feel free to say, because...
Prosecutorial...
Like let stuff go once in a while, because yeah. the laws were written in a world where you had to get a cop to bust you for doing 75,
mm-hmm.
and now a camera can do it every day, three times a day.
Right.
So at some point, it becomes an undue burden on the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Well, I hate red light cameras, so don't even get me started there.
Oh, yes. I got some good for you.
I hate them.
I have good case law for you, but keep going.
Prosecutorial discretion is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the ability to prosecute or not prosecute.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it makes sense because sometimes...
Well, unless it's mandatory sentencing in the case of criminal stuff.
Yeah.
Is New York, is there a lot of mandatory sentencing in New York?
I'm not in... the criminal...
Right. I know that. I just was wondering. I thought maybe that was a more...
I don't want to...
That was like
a
Jeopardy question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm not aware of how much there is either. I know in California that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
They have all kinds of three strikes
and you're out, yeah, which are... Yeah. I hear a lot of horrible things about that. This goes against
what I just said.
Yeah.
So, I feel like, you know, three felonies, no matter what they are, no matter how minor they are...
I mean, I think that, you know, forgiveness is important on a daily context for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that you can be forgiven for something you've done and also penalized for something that you've done.
Right.
I don't think that you need to be absolved of your wrongdoing to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but...
Well, no. For forgiveness and forgetting are different.
Right.
So this is a critical thing, thinking about forgiveness. Forgiveness is just allowing someone to move on from the thing that they've done. You know, but it doesn't mean you have to forget.
Right. And it also doesn't mean you don't have to be punished for it.
Right. So you can remember, it can be on your record forever that you did this. But, you know, all right, whatever.
Yeah, like
he got drunk and put a lampshade in his head, who cares?
Right.
You know, ran out in the street, which was technically illegal because it was public display, but it was just a lampshade. Who gives a shit? Yeah.
You know, some people are just absurd. Like, my mom was just telling me today about a story in Greece where there was a railroad conductor, mm-hmm. and a kid who was on the railroad.
Right.
And evidently the kid didn't have a ticket.
Okay.
So the guy got mad at him and threw him off the train or the bus or I don't know what and got him killed.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, that's an extreme. That's an extreme.
Wow. Indiana Jones him, huh?
Yeah.
No ticket.
And
wow.
And we'll die.
I just made it a joke. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's not.
God rest his
soul. It's I mean, you get...
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. And people just get so freaking, like, in their, like, weird-ass fucking hate.
Wow.
Like, yeah, they're just, like, in their
It's road rage. It's train rage.
It's train rage.
That's crazy.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
You're enraged.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. Yeah. And really, it isn't about that guy at all. It's about...
No.
Yeah, he sees...
The bigger
what
picture.
What he sees is inequities.
Right.
And he's just like, life's unfair. Guess what? Life's unfair.
Right.
And I think that's part of the forgiveness thing.
Right.
Is that, you know, if you know life's unfair, forgiveness makes a whole lot of sense.
Right.
Right.
You life's know, unfair.
Officially and also, right? You know, like, okay, well, crap happens. You know,
right.
Sometimes things just, the dice get rolled and you lose.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with what you did.
Right.
So usually we try to make a system that's pretty fair, but once in a while, yeah, you just
some people
got
aren't
jacked.
Even interested. Some people just aren't even interested in fair, though. Like some people are just
right.
interested.
This will win.
Yeah.
Well, that's a psychopathic behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all psychopaths underneath. That's part of the Siv Gene theory. So, and I'm pretty sure it's correct. We're all underneath the surface. We're all dark and sinister and brooding. You know, I think this is. There was a great article on Facebook about how heavy metal people. I forget what the name. It wasn't on Facebook.
I don't think. I don't.
Heavy metal people tend to be more successful and better balanced and like you know like a happier life because they actually deal with their darkness.
Great, buy my album.
We're plugging everything.
Speaking of well balanced,
we're plugging everything left and right, man. You want to say your album?
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, not out yet. Unfortunately.
Not out yet.
We're still recording.
In stores near you.
Yeah.
Okay.
In stores 2020.
2020. 2020. Nice.
Yeah.
I would say that, okay, I don't, I'm going to have to read your theory because I don't, I always thought of it as a spectrum.
Right.
And so there's a thing called place blindness.
I had a conversation with your sister of the same
yeah.
effect. Yeah. And honestly, I think they're wrong. I think they're wrong about this, and here's why. So, I think that the whole idea behind Siv Gene is that our conscience is actually unique to humans. This is what separates us from, and part of what we think of as intelligence is actually behavioral, that comes from the conscience, and that and yeah, sure, the conscience could be a spectrum where you have someone has more conscience or less conscience, but specifically psychopathy is the absence of conscience, where they're literally the thing we evolved from.
And is it absence? But couldn't you have less?
It wouldn't be a psychopath then. It would just be someone who was hard to reach. So,
but it's like calculus, where like you're reaching a limit, right? So,
right.
Like,
so like,
so you're
what
talking
I'm
about somebody
is,
who has this much.
What I'm saying
empathy.
Is, you have a number approaching zero, but you also have zero. Zero is a psychopath.
I think that to say that the number like 0.000001.
Right.
I would just throw.
Well, there's a reason for this. So the
Why?
Reason is because all of the things that we. Oh yes, please. Awesome. All of the things that we. All of the things that we project on the world around us, where
mm-hmm.
we project compassion, where we project kindness, where we project talking teapots, where we project faces on things.
Okay.
You know, like that is all a function of the human subconscious that isn't replicated in nature. And when you take humans out of it, like every time someone shows me a video of animals being nice together, right, of two different species, like same species, you know, it's almost always familiar, right? But if it's different species, it looks like, oh, look, animals are kind. No, actually, there's a human involved. That's why it happened. Like, I really like the very best example I can find of that not being true, and actually immediately one of my guests said, oh, I know what that is. That's something else. Was I might have mentioned this in the panel, I'm not sure. So many shows.
I don't think you did.
Yeah, I don't think. I think I actually
animals.
Mentioned it in panel two.
Okay.
You were in panel three. So the idea that a whale protected a seal from a killer whale, like a blue whale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a killer whale is a shark, really. It's just a big shark. So I think that's right. Right? Is that right? Yeah, they're not actually whales, or they are. They are whales, but they're carnivores. Sorry, my bad. Anyway, so they're mammals, right? So mammals tend to be a little more cuddly because we all evolved from rodents, and rodents were all physically together in the den and slept for the first time. Like mammals sleep like no other species.
I can neither confirm nor deny this.
Yes, absolutely, mammals sleep like no other species. Most other animals will sleep with one eye open.
Mm-hmm.
Will have very very light sleep patterns, but mammals have some unique attributes because we were den animals from the beginning. Everything evolved
mm-hmm.
from mice, and they were den animals.
Okay.
So you're safe when you're in a den. If you
right.
were down far enough and deep enough in a den, you're essentially safe. You could go, you could zonk. You could go to sleep in a deep sleep. And there were some kind of advantages to that. You know, almost like a hibernation.
Yeah, but even
one.
So, I mean, I know we're going down a rabbit hole here, but even so, there are members of our tribe who don't sleep well.
Well, actually, so one of the attributes of psychopaths is they don't sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the point being that, like, I don't.
Well, geez, who could have predicted that? You know.
But I don't see a difference between 0.001 empathy and no empathy. Like, I don't. You want to call it that? That's fine.
Well, you know, like, I'm not. This isn't my invention, mm-hmm. and I could be. This could be wrong, and this may not be. You know, this may not be science based.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with what psychiatry says about psychopathy. That psychopaths do not have empathy. That they can emulate it.
Right.
You know, they can imitate. They can run a script.
But that's like saying people are blind. Yeah, it's true. Some people are completely blind.
So,
but then there are people who are essentially blind.
Right. Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. And it could be that all animals have some attribute of the conscience. Or it could even be that mammals have some attribute, you know, maybe not all animals, but just mammals have mm-hmm. some attribute of the conscience. Here's where I break my own rule. So this will tell you that I'm not hard and fast.
It's not fully formed.
It's not fully formed because the only way to fully form this theory is data, and I don't have a $1 million grant.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a $1 million grant, I'd answer you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is how science is done. Like, people don't understand this, that it's a process and it's long.
Yeah, but I would argue that I don't think it's really consequential. That
I could set up and prove what I'm saying is true and discover that what you're saying is true.
But I understand that, but I don't think it's consequential that it's binary. I don't think it really matters because it could be so poor. You could be so poorly empathetic that you're an effective
psychopath.
Yeah. So does it really matter?
Yeah, well, it does. So here's how it matters. So what happens is that people will say, my argument has been psychopathy is genetic. It seems if the argument that psychopaths are just psychopaths is true, then it clearly is genetic. You know, like, in other words, it's a genetic trait that shows, like, a recessive genetic trait that only shows up sometimes.
Or
anybody can have a
psychopath.
Or a defect. Right. Well, we would call it remember. What's a defect, right? Like, you could say if someone has ADD as a defect, doesn't mean they have a defect. They just have a good bullshit detector.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could say someone who's on the autistic spectrum. I think that is for sure a spectrum. You know, clearly it's a spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Seeing that, like, probably, nope, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. Something about the audience members.
Right. Oh yes. Well, sure. Yeah. You could say it.
Probably most of.
There's a few people in the audience. You don't have to
one
do that.
Or two. No, I got scolded.
He's very aggressive.
He's like, you're all the way in the back.
Once in a while, I'll put my hand over the microphone, or one of us will lean back, and then there's acrobatics behind the camera, and Steve's like doing backflips
he's
and
like,
throwing things
the
in the air, trying to get our attention.
I was pretty good. How long was
it? It's a one-man show. I mean, really, the camera should be turned around and just hear our voices and watch Steve trying to tell us the.
Hanging from the rafters.
But so for sure, and I know a couple of people who with Asperger's who are wild successes in
the tech field. Oh, like so many. Like I
know people who are on the spectrum
mm-hmm.
beyond Asperger's, also Asperger's, who are successful in tech. But it's not just that. You know, I know people who are psychopaths who are successful in tech.
Yeah.
I know people who are...
A lot of people who have Asperger's are actually misdiagnosed as somebody who has, like, lack of empathy, but
I know people who are not only schizophrenic, but dissociative identity disorder that's multiple personalities.
I think we know the same person.
I know multiple people.
Or do you?
Oh, I do. That was so bad.
Not just bad.
In one person. I know multiple physical people.
In a politically incorrect way or in a...
Yeah, no, it was
like
funny.
Not funny.
It was awesome.
Okay.
It was very punny.
Okay.
It was punny.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not... Look, I'm not going to feel bad about at least one case. For sure, I'm keeping at least one secret here. And for sure, at least one person in each of these disorders has publicly said, I have this disorder.
Yeah.
You know... This is who I am.
Right.
Right. And so, like, you know, like, there's secrets and then there's not secrets. So
yeah.
I've been lucky.
The person that we know in common who has it is out.
Really? We'll talk after.
Yes.
Yeah, let's not talk about it because that's
dangerous. No, of course not.
Yeah. Because you could ruin someone's life.
We know about 1 million people together in common.
Right.
Like we've.
Right. Yeah. We're both very social, and we know a lot of. And because I was in tech so long, mm-hmm. I met a lot of people, so I know one of everyone.
Yes.
You know, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
But no one's like you.
No one's like you.
Hey, yeah, that's true.
Yep, there's only one of each of us.
Hey, and no one's like Steve. Oh, he felt left out.
He's like, yeah, bitches. I'm going to turn on the fucking blue screen.
This is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm having a great time. You're really good at this. You're like super comfortable. You said you were nervous. You must have been lying.
Yeah.
Trying to trick me or something.
No, what? I thought that when I saw the camera on that I would like freeze up. I get like performance anxiety really bad. I think I told you this. No, I didn't tell you the story.
No. Tell me.
It's really embarrassing, but like I can swim normally, I swear. But if anybody's watching me, I feel like the invisible person is only invisible when no one's watching.
Oh.
Like, I'm a good swimmer.
I think that's a female
thing
a lot.
Just have to trust me.
There's a lot of women who have that kind
performance
of...
performance anxiety?
Yeah, but, like, they act totally different depending who's watching them.
Yeah, so, like, if you watch me swimming, I don't know what happens to me, but, like, I drink water, like, lots and lots of pool water. Like, I'll, like... I've gotten better because now I'm just, like, so into it. I'm in the zone.
Right.
I'm in the flow. Again, if you know anything about the flow.
So you're a ballet dancer, and then you turn into Elaine from Seinfeld.
Yes.
When people walk in the room.
Right. I'm like, whoa, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Yes. So I thought that that's what would happen here.
Right. That's not happening at all.
No.
That's good, because you probably would have been a huge failure in the courtroom.
Yeah. No, I'm like, I have no problem with performance at most places, but sometimes...
You know what's weird? Is I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that about you. I was like, she's fine. She's going to be fine. Actually, in fairness, I've seen have some pretty geeky people on here, and they're fine.
Yeah.
You know, they flow as well as they can.
As well as they can.
Right. You know,
the operative,
they're
maximizing their flowness.
They're like within 20% of opportune
flowness.
You know, flowness. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Best I get, Matt.
Really?
I do not get any better. So, like,
I've had some nice compliments about my ability to get people flowy on here. Mm-hmm. So it might be some of it might be me. I think, in fairness,
All
right. Some of it might be the format too. The format is brilliant and is not. I have stolen it from other people.
We're between two ferns.
Two ferns. There it is again.
We're not the first channeling Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my God! You could say his name.
Galifianakis. He's Greek. We all know each other.
Fuck.
He's my fucking cousin.
Dude, that's rocking.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. I have the beginnings of human civilization at
right
my
here.
Fingertips.
Right here.
Nice.
Right. My DNA.
Across the table.
I'm basically like, what is it? Mitochondrial Eve. Mm. I myself.
Yeah. That's wow. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's you're famous.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you.
Everyone. Everyone is me.
Everyone is you. Nice.
I can't abuse the fact check thing, right?
No. You know what? It's honestly a comedy go-to abuse the fact check. Every time we've had a comedian, so you're actually kind of comedian here.
Okay.
When we have comedians on, they're like, "What can I do to Steve?" Because it's a good Steve becomes
it
a stick.
It just feels right.
And I have to defend him so he doesn't become the stick.
Steve, it feels right.
What you looked up, I got you.
Am I mitochondrial Eve?
He's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that? All right, well, that was, so I, you know, of course I can't prove it, but the thing I was trying to say was, I think dogs have a conscience. And there's a specific reason.
We keep forgetting our freaking conversation. Okay, dogs have a conscience.
Right. So I think that dogs have a conscience, and specifically empathy.
But didn't you start off by saying animals don't?
They don't. I think we bred it into them.
Oh,
I think we bred them so long.
That's why you were saying that.
So this is actually defending.
This is like an overlay.
So this is defending your argument. So it may be that the conscience isn't a single gene, but it may be a pile of genes. A gene here, a gene there, a gene here, and all of which were just randomly activated until all activated at the same time in one person, and they had a huge advantage.
Okay, what about?
And what if those genes are all present in different animals, and they were all present in the dog, but they just didn't show up at the same time, and then dogs just got bred so long that
domesticated.
Dogs can frown. Wolves can't. So we have done this.
But what about
with other
what
aspects
about elephants, man? I've seen elephants get very, very sad.
This is the bad part is, here's the part you're not going to like.
Okay.
This is the part that people are not going to, you know, people who are very socially conscious and worried about civilization as a whole and their society as a whole. And I feel bad because I don't want to ostracize them. But, you know, Darwinism is fucking brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have to be brutal if you want to be accurate. They care about their families.
all animals care about their families. That's not weird at all. You can go all the way down to the really dumb insects.
Well, that's conscious.
Yeah, that's not conscience. That's the conscience is, so the conscience is sticking out your neck for other beings without any expectation of getting.
That's altruism. Now we're going into
right,
altruism.
I think the conscience, the side effect, the irrevocable side effect of the conscience is empathy, and the irrevocable side effect of empathy is altruism. So they're all three of the things are directly connected to
I
each other.
I don't think, maybe they're part of the spectrum, the overall spectrum, but I would say that...
Well, here's, I'm actually defending your spectrum argument.
Right.
So what I'm saying is that these genes that all came together in the dog, that we made come together in the dog, are maybe present, maybe same. Just shooting in the dark mm-hmm. in mammals. You know? Like they're like in most mammals, let's say, mm-hmm. like somewhere up way up on the
mammalian
tree.
They're just not expressed.
They're just not expressed. I mean, monkeys or any kind of apes mm-hmm. are just total shitbags to each other, and everything's all about order. You know, it's all about who I get to have as a mate, who I get to boss around.
Right.
You know, and I mean behaviorally. You know, intelligence-wise, they're the closest land animals to us.
Right, but isn't there... Hold on. I'm trying to channel Tom from work.
Yeah.
There's like an animal, like all they do is copulate.
Right, the bonobo. Make love, not war.
That's
make
it.
War, not love, monkey. Yes, I'm familiar with them. And again, you know, they have a high... It doesn't... Even though they don't enforce it through violence all as much as the other monkeys, they also have a hierarchy, and there is a leader to the troop.
But so do we.
But we don't have to have that structure.
We do
because it's because economy of scale makes it cheaper. It's an economic function.
I think it's an urge. People really like have this
put
urge to
5
be...
or 10 people on an island,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're not psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to have a hierarchy to function.
They don't have to.
If you have
to,
a million people, they have to have a hierarchy.
I understand
to function.
That, but I would argue that people respond to leaders. Like, people need and have a strong urge to form a hierarchy.
So I wouldn't disagree with that. And I'm saying that stuff is still in us. All that monkey stuff is still mm-hmm. in us. You know, being the top monkey in the troop, wanting to be the mate, the male monkey that gets
yes.
all the mates,
right.
is still in us. It's still there. It's just that our conscience goes, no, usually the voice of our mother. You know?
Or no, let's use it when we want to, let's not use it when we don't want to.
Well, it's rational
intellect.
Process.
It's intellect.
It's not just intellect. There's tons of, think about when you have an insight. When I wake up from a dream.
Okay.
That's not my rational mind.
When you wake up from a dream,
and
it's
I'm
your
literally
physiological
writing,
response.
Right. But it's not like I'm the only person reporting this and I'm a freak. You know, this is like, it's not just the part of your brain, the subconscious part of your brain that... You can't access it. It'll just—it's like a spidey sense. It'll give you Have you ever been on the parkway?
Wait. What is your? Hold on,
example.
Wait. Before you go into explaining, tell me what your conclusion
so I think
I can see what your.
So the conscience, the part that I haven't told you yet—that's mm-hmm. maybe like, why? What is he talking about?
Mm-hmm.
The conscience and the subconscious, I think, are the same. I think Freud.
I don't think there is a subconscious.
Oh, there absolutely is, yeah. That's demonstrable.
I thought that they, said there is no such thing
as a subconscious. No, there's absolutely a subconscious. And so, and this is kind of like a fallacy that's running around, because if there's a subconscious, we can have a useful intuition. If there isn't a subconscious, we can't. And I think that it's a control mechanism.
Isn't that instinct?
No, well, sometimes it is, yeah. So you can have instincts, right? Ow! Right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's fire, that's not your subconscious.
You can have urges.
You can demonstrate that in a gazillion different animals.
You can have urges.
And you go, you know.
But
you know that's an urge too. But that's not subconscious. That's not what I'm talking about.
What do you mean by define subconscious?
I'm talking of comparing unlike things in unexpected ways. It literally is the formation of abstract and creative thought. And that's what's unique to people. That's what's different about us. And that's it. It's not really. It wasn't really the intention. What the conscience actually is a risk engine. So when it's looking at unlike things and figuring out and pre-processing danger for things that we haven't seen before. So imagine. So think about how useful.
I thought conscience was like your. your perception of reality.
No, no, that's a conscious. So, oh, you have a conscience and you have consciousness.
Okay. No, no, not consciousness. I don't mean that. I mean conscience.
I think, therefore, I am. That's consciousness. That's your
that's
rational
conscious.
Yeah, that's conscious.
I think is conscious.
Conscious. My stupid fat tongue is just screwing this conversation up. Sorry. Yeah, but the conscience is
the
super. Traditionally, in psychology, it's a superego.
It's like your compass.
The people that wrote the definitions of what psychopathy is right now, and of course, you can go argue with Hare, and I'll listen.
Okay.
But I don't really think he's wrong. He's demonstrably right. There's lots of data.
But essentially, it's your compass.
It's your moral compass.
Right.
And that's actually subconscious, and you don't necessarily know why. You rationalize it after. So what will happen is you'll have an insight, right? You'll have a feeling about, I don't trust that person, or I should go slow on this road, or I'm going to get pulled over.
I think that's subconscious. I think that's just a really fast processor.
I think that's the thing. Because if you look at the way psychopaths operate, if they get into a situation they haven't been in before, they flub it, right? As subject to intelligence. So if they're extremely intelligent, they flub it less off. They unflub it more quickly because they're smart enough to figure out, okay.
I don't know. I'm going to have to disagree with you here, Matt.
I think the psychopaths are operating strictly in the rational mind.
I think that we are very quick processors of small experiences that we've had in the past.
Right.
Like,
I think that
very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So it may feel like it's
it goes by their emotional weight. So like different things have emotional. So it's kind of like a secondary search engine where like, so it's I call it emotional metadata. So like if something.
You're talking about the subconscious as emotional metadata. You should have just started with that.
Yeah.
You should have just started. I would have got it right away.
It's a lot of concepts. It's a lot of things to tie together.
But.
You know
so do we have emotional metadata? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that psychopaths.
But it doesn't have to be.
I don't think other animals have emotional metadata at the level that we do.
Let me think about that. I disagree.
Okay.
It's a.
That was fast.
Yeah.
Please hold. Okay, I have an answer.
No.
Beep, 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 beep.
All right, I disagree because I feel as though emotions are just responses. To stimulus, right? They're just like our responses, like our
but
like
there are those
physiological responses.
They're not just physiological, though. Some things that make
so that like when I see it's like Pavlov's dog, man.
Let me give you an explanation of what I think faith is, and this will help you to put this in perspective. So a lot of people argue about what faith is. It's religion, it's this, it's that.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually just something knowing something you can't prove.
Actually, I recently met somebody who went to seminary school and tried to explain to me that our interpretation of what faith is wrong.
Right.
Like, we view it as a personal, thing that we have, but it's not personal.
Okay. It's a God antenna?
It's not a God antenna. It's like a culmination of multiple things.
Right. So, I probably would disagree. I don't know exactly what you're saying. But
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now we can go back to this argument.
So for sure, I have a whole bunch of philosophies that revolve around this.
Mm-hmm.
And like Catholics are not compatible with this. This actually changed my view of Christianity.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, now it makes a lot more sense. And actually, I can argue, get this. It so self-resolves itself. My philosophies and the arguments behind them, that I can actually argue exactly the same points as a Christian or as an atheist.
Nice. Matt, I have an observation to make.
It's pretty destructively dangerous to someone to argue with me.
I have an observation to make about our argument style.
Yeah.
We go down rabbit holes.
Yeah, you think? Oh!
I feel like...
Why is it so dark in here?
I kind of feel like we haven't really, if we were a directory tree, we'd just be like a bunch of open ones, and we've never actually closed any single one of them.
Here's the secret. Here's the secret about the show. That's a good thing.
Really? Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I haven't heard a single entire argument yet.
Right. Because you challenge a premise of an argument, and you go down to the next one.
Every fucking time.
And challenge
we keep challenging each other.
Right. So, I think that inherently corruption is... I'm doing it again. corruption is oversimplification. Don't make things simpler than possible. The Einstein quote, you know, make things as simple as possible, but not simpler than possible.
Mm-hmm.
We're just refusing to make things simpler than possible.
Okay, but then we don't go anywhere.
Right.
So I think, just moving forward, if we have another conversation like this, I think we should agree, like, have ground rules, like Monopoly.
Yeah.
And one of the ground rules is, like, we can digress.
Like, I'm bankrupt!
Three times in an hour. We can digress three times in an hour, and then, like, you get to, like, veto or challenge, like, two premises.
Right.
Like, we challenge everything.
And we just have to agree to disagree at that point?
No, at that point, we're going to disagree on the rules.
The game sucks. Let's not play this game anymore.
We're going to be like, no, that's not what we said.
Well, then the outcome
that's not how we interpret it.
The outcome is going to be completely predictable. We're going to get to the limiter, and then we're just going to have to throw the game away.
I feel like...
Steve, we will run to the limiter. You know, we'll try to get there faster.
I'm going to ask Steve. Steve, are you keeping up?
Yeah, I'm very much keeping up.
For real?
Yeah.
All right.
We have a smart audience, so... All right, technocrats, smart audience. There's not a ton of them, but
I thought by now for sure he'd be like crying, like, what the hell are they doing? Like,
what are they talking
about? Why are
they
doing this? Like, they're ruining it.
You know, for me, what I want out of this, and I don't care about, this is why I don't really care about, like, a lot of the numbers that people normally care about. This is a brain trust. I'd rather have 100 of the smartest people than a million of okay people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I'm not against the okay people. And in fact, I actually feel bad for them, and I'm trying to inform them that the technocracy is real and it's making decisions for them, and they really need to start paying attention, because you may not like the outcome. Even worse, the people who are making decisions for you may not even know what the outcome is going to be.
Right.
They may just be having base reactions to things, like we're talking about, like, primal, like, need money,
right,
want snoo-snoo, you know,
right.
You know, just very, like, and just reacting to that and doing code to get those things.
Right.
Yeah. And, like, so, but yeah, this I really, like, I love my audience. You know, we have, you know, I can just tell they're paying attention. They don't necessarily comment a lot in the comments, but the comments that do come out are usually very smart.
And thoughtful.
And you can tell where they are, they follow the whole thread.
I hope I get an answer to my flow question.
So usually there's not a ton of comments. You probably won't. But
I think I have faith.
I
have faith.
Okay. Yeah, so I think faith is just knowing something you can't prove. And actually the interesting thing about that is it completely applies to religion and to science the same way. It's just a matter of whether it is provable at the end of the road or not.
Okay.
But it's the same exact thought process, and our brains work the same way for both processes.
My brother always said faith is that gap between what you know and what you believe.
So believe is tricky. Believe is a tricky word. I understand why he said that. But, you know, I believe is a tricky word because believe is a wish. Literally, entomology-wise, to believe something... This is something Steve could fact-check. Believe.
You mean the word. We're talking
word.
Semantics now.
No, but it's important. If we can't agree on the meaning of words.
Like giving birth.
What does word mean? What does it mean?
I mean...
Yeah.
I think we could agree, like...
I'm sorry, it's like giving birth. That's terrible.
So am I looking at the definition of entomology?
A belief. I think believe is, as far as I know, believe is just a wish. It's essentially, I wish
belief.
For this to be true.
Like belief.
All right. Do you guys want to put in your guesses, or do you want me to just...
All right, hold on. What does believe mean? It's like your perception of reality.
No.
Damn it.
No. Okay, go for it, Steve.
All right. Two definitions. One spiritual, one more factual.
I like the factual one.
The factual one is an acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists.
Wait, but
that's a wish.
That's what I said, though.
That's a wish.
Isn't that what I said?
No, you said something slightly different.
Wait, hold on. I said
you said a perception
of reality.
A perception and a wish.
Wait, read it again. Read it again.
An acceptance that a statement is true or something exists.
That a statement is true. Acceptance that a statement is true.
I accept nothing.
And that's your perception of what reality is.
I'm just useless.
And the other
I would
one,
agree that they're similar.
The other one is trust, faith, or confidence in something or someone.
Yeah, that's
faith
just...
Faith or confidence in someone... Wait, say it again?
Trust, faith, or confidence in something or someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Those are the two definitions.
Yeah, I think I've read those. And I've also read others, too, that were more supportive of my... My definition.
Philosophical definition, I believe?
Nah, it's all right.
I got you if you want it.
It's gonna be... Now, this is going to be a rabbit hole.
This is the
we can
point,
go down
the point, this.
If you...
This is the point of diminishing returns.
Right. Right.
The philosophical term for belief is, belief is the attitude that something is the case or true. In epistemology, philosophers use the term belief to refer to personal attitudes associated with true or false ideas and concepts. However, belief does not require active introspection or circumspection.
Boom! Wish. It's a wish. I believe in Santa Claus.
It's a perception. It's a perception of reality.
But you don't have to do any work. No work has to be done to achieve belief. Work has to be done to achieve faith. In fact, the less other people believe your faith, the more work you have to do.
But that's what I said. I said the gap between belief and faith.
This is what happens. You put Matt and a lawyer in the same room.
But, wait, belief is that gap between what you know,
right,
and what you believe.
But no, you can't use a word in its own definition.
It's reciprocal.
No, it's not.
It's a reciprocal function.
Sorry. Look, I'm not. I'm totally down with I'm totally down with recursive functions.
Mm-hmm.
You primate recursive.
Yeah, recursive.
Right. I'm down with recursive functions, we can't use them in language. People just can't. Their brains.
You know what?
People can't even do anything more than math.
You know what?
Subtraction.
It's actually. Let's move on. Let's just move on. I feel like...
I would love to discuss Sibgene until the sun goes supernova with you.
Yes, I like that.
But I think...
I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. And I think I've had fun with this, but I think you're right. Let's move on in case somebody else is done with that. And that way we'll get more schmooze to get draw people in.
We got a clip ready too.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yes.
What's a clip?
So the problem is that the show is 3 hours, mm-hmm. right? So it's awesome. Like, we'll hit 3 hours. Like, he's gonna give us hand signals when it's close to the end, and you're gonna be like, "What? We're done?"
Yeah.
You know, and like, but when you're watching it, especially if you have to concentrate on a second thing, it's too hard to concentrate on the variety of topics here and whatever else you're doing.
Right.
Right. Also, some people are just not. If someone finds me abrasive, I'm just screwed. I'm never going to get them over. Mm-hmm. But if someone doesn't like a particular guest or like their viewpoints or think they have something to add to the, some people are practical, some people are philosophical, mm-hmm. some people are are interested in mechanical things or word things or code things or so they're just not. So a clip is when you take a piece of a 3-hour show, like 5-10 minutes, and you put it up as an advertisement to say, this is the person you want to watch. Here's how good it gets.
What was my clip?
Well, I don't know what your clip is. Well, he's saying we have a clip right there with the Sibgene thing.
Oh,
but
dear,
I wouldn't use the Sibgene.
Oh, my God.
My idea, so I wouldn't use that for you.
Okay.
Because, and by the way, if anybody has any inputs of what they want to see in clips, that would be fine. I would be okay with that. Even if it's not in this episode, if you send me email privately. I mean, I was mentioning that earlier. It seems like people don't want to have conversations about what we're doing on here publicly because I guess they're afraid that they're going to go down a rabbit hole with us and never emerge again.
Yes.
I just want a montage of Matt maniacally laughing. Nothing else. 3 hours of Matt laughing.
Excellent. Well, most guests have laughed maniacally with me in panel, so maybe we could do
I
that.
I have laughed maniacally.
You have laughed maniacally
have
with
maniacally.
Me. So we could really go full Dr. Evil and
just
okay. Maybe I'll lead with that in my next. and also you can put clips together and put a show together of clips and then say, this is what the show's about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's people. Fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Creative.
Yeah. So that was fun. So, do you think law in the tech world, is law focused on the wrong things? So, in other words, is it just looking at the very superficial stuff that the least capable old ladies can do? So, I have a couple examples.
Laws are responsive, so...
Okay. So... Yeah, I'm talking about lawmaking, not law.
Lawmaking. Yeah. So lawmaking happens in the courts, too, and lawmaking happens
in the
legislatures. Right. Yeah, so they're equally important. And a lot of times with tech, I imagine a lot of the law that happens is probably law that is interpretation of other law because it's so quickly evolving and the issues are so quickly evolving that I imagine they have to find a law that somewhat fits the scenario.
So I heard a great comedy routine where someone was saying the Catholic Church was apologizing for something that happened in 409 AD or something.
Wow.
You know, and like they were joking that that's the file they're on. So I feel like that's like where law is with tech.
Yeah.
Like we're working in 1983's problems.
Right.
Not really what's happening now.
That's exactly right. So a lot of times when you're asking questions about the law, don't overlook the courts, because I feel as though a lot of the law is being made in the courts.
So specifically, I'm talking, just so you know, this isn't abstract, this is actually very down to earth. The FBI and the DOJ is cracking down on Nigerian spammers. Like, everyone doesn't know if you get an email from a Nigerian prince.
Right.
They're lying.
Right.
You know. So apparently that's what's on the file right now. So totally serious, we're in 1998.
Right.
That's the problem they're solving.
Right.
You know, and also with phone spam, which is like, you know, depending on how you look at it, it's either a 1980s problem.
It's still a problem today, man.
It is a
spam
problem.
Spam likely is like very popular.
But you know what? Just don't answer the ones that say spam likely.
Yeah.
You could argue that corporations already solved it, right?
But I mean,
let them leave a voicemail, and if it's no good, you just listen to 5 seconds in, you know.
Right. But also sometimes spam likely doesn't show up. Sometimes he's incognito.
Right. So that's a problem. I agree with that. Because that's an arms... So that's a security arms race.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're going to figure out a way to beat it, and they're going to find a way to categorize them, and they're going to figure out a way to beat it and categorize them.
So I guess
them.
What the question is, should we
so
be punishing
different.
Them? Should we be punishing them?
Right.
Or should the laws be punishing
that? Well, more importantly, I mean, to me, these are like... Oh, really? I can solve these problems myself.
Right.
I don't need the law for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know how to figure out who a phone spammer is.
Right.
Actually, so I had a funny one. I had Brad. He was one of our guests in the car the other day. And I got a call from a phone spammer. It didn't come up as spam likely. So I didn't know who it was. And I was like, okay, I better answer it, because I was expecting a call from a 1-800 number. And it was a phone spammer. He's like, this is Madi from tech support. I'm calling about the problem you were having with your computer. And I'm like, thank God you called me. I'm like, dude, I cannot get this freaking thing to work. I have been calling IT all week. Send someone here right now. He's like, okay, I'll send someone there. I'm like, great, I'll see them later. Okay, I gotta go. Bye. Click.
That's funny.
He had his whole pitch worked out, and I just took the thing and...
Shit. They didn't give me a line for that.
So, yeah, I mean, that is... But it was, you know, people get caught with those all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's like 19... That's like 2002's file.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get to that soon.
Right.
But, you know...
Right.
I mean, like I can solve these problems. You know, that's not the thing that scares me is the search engine that everyone uses manipulating their algorithms. You know?
There's so many things that are factors in creating laws. There's just so many things. First of all, there has to be an issue that's loud enough for somebody to even give a shit about.
Well, it can be really loud, but it doesn't mean people can hear it.
Right.
You know?
It's drowned out by techno blah, 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 blah.
It's drowned out by us talking about SimGene for half an hour and just going down 10 different rabbit holes to try to establish what the word means.
Right. I mean, what you need to do is like synthesize it in a way that it's applicable to your legislator, which oftentimes many of these issues are not. But let's say you have accomplished
that. Who has
that.
The time for that, though?
Let's say you've accomplished that. Now you have to get them not just to take on and sponsor the bill, but now they have to find other people to sponsor it. So they're good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to do that all within a legislative session. So good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So usually what happens in the tech space is someone writes a law, and that's and by someone, I mean a lawyer working for a huge company.
Right.
And then they go to the congressman, and in fairness to the congressman, defense of them and congresswomen, sometimes they'll go, "That's crazy! I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sponsoring that." You know, and they'll try a few times.
Or a lot of times it'll be like, "What?
What?
What?
No, you did that too fast and too alert. What?
What?
How's what? The internet?
Right.
Yeah. 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 So like,
I mean, you're dealing with regular people, like,
right?
And they're dealing with a million different people who are interested.
Well, you know what? But the result is this: the result is a technocracy. The techs are in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is even close to keeping up with them.
Right. And even if you do manage to pass
concepts so fast, we can't make words for them.
That's right. And you can't even agree on words. So like, you're not even speaking the same language.
Right. Right. Half the time, the words in the techno space are branded words for a company.
Right.
Because it can't even civilization and society can't even keep up.
You can't keep up. And so even if you did very quickly pass a law it would you couldn't maintain that level of you know, needs.
Right, right. Yeah. So yeah, we have language vapor lock here all the time. We'll be talking about concepts and you can't even, there's not even a word for it anymore.
Right.
We have to describe the whole concept because it's like if you're not in the field, and this happens a lot like with coders, you know, I'm sure you can remember this with code. Mm-hmm. If you're writing code, you know, and you have a problem and it's like a problem you've never seen before, there may be a word for it, but you don't know what the hell, how do you put that into Google?
Right.
You know? Yeah, like sometimes, sometimes it's easy. You know, if it's a library error or something, if it's an error message associated with it, in other words, someone else has figured out and put a word to it.
Right.
You know, even if it's a really obscure word. But like sometimes there's just no word for it.
The thingamajig that does this.
Why do we call everything that we don't understand a thing? Star Trek.
That was pretty geeky.
Yeah, it was pretty geeky. Yeah. I'm pretty geeky, you know.
Yeah.
In case you haven't figured this out, I am a geek at least some of the times.
All the time.
You know. You, even if I'm not employed, I'm still a geek. There's nothing you can do to stop me.
I mean, you are hosting
a geek show.
A geek show.
Right. And I'm damn proud of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like looking for more ways to go all in geek.
Yeah, and also you have enough geek friends and acquaintances to bring to your geek show.
Right. Right. Like, I know a veritable army of geeks.
Yes, the well spilleth over.
Yes. And they're smart and they're interesting. I actually feel really lucky that I have. A lot of it's Lilug. You know, a lot of it is the user group that I was part of from the beginning.
We're happenstance.
Right.
We're just happenstance.
Yeah, yeah. It probably would have done something similar even if Lilug didn't exist. I just can't help it. I just want to talk to people.
Right.
Well, you know what? Because you can just... It's just so frustrating to me when I'm sitting behind the keyboard and I'm trying to solve a problem and I'm like, someone has can solve this problem already.
Right.
You know, this is very why I'm very compatible with open source. You know, someone has solved this problem already. Why am I doing this again?
Right.
You know?
Let's share.
You solve that problem, I'll solve this problem, and they're solved forever.
Right.
And then I can move on to something like, I don't know.
Well, science should be like that, too. Science should be like that, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
computer science is a science, but
open source is the... So, I'm waiting. I would love to have a scientist in here argue this with me. But open source is the computer science reference model. I mean, computer science...
Is the reference model for science.
Yes, is the reference model. Because, I mean, you can... You know, without peer review, it ain't science. You know, when people abuse the crap out of that word, they're like, science! No, not peer review. Peer review, at least you can argue about what it is.
Oh, science.
They'll say something science when it hasn't even been peer reviewed. And it's like, what? You know, all right. Now, granted, you know, everything starts as a faith. Mm-hmm. You know, using my definition
of belief.
Knowing something you can't prove, right? That's how science literally starts. You have an insight. You go, oh, I know how this works, right? And then you go out there and you start the arduous process of proving it. And actually, I have an example in here where I talk about, like, it usually takes anywhere from 10 to 50 years for everyone else to catch up with you when you figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, usually 10's a short one. I mean... Look how useful Einstein stuff was. Really, we didn't catch up with it for 30 years and 50 by the widest definition.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow!
And that's Einstein.
It took us that long.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just a scientist trying to catch up with him. It was all the people trying to catch up with him. It took them 50 freaking years to catch up with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Darwin, we're still catching up with. A lot of people still don't get him. They still don't understand what it means.
What?
You know... natural selection, because it doesn't have to be the only element of evolution, but they don't even really understand. I mean, it's brutal. I don't like it, but natural selection means that somebody's got to die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't do death anymore, not statistically speaking, compared to our own cells 100 years ago or 200 years ago. We just don't do it.
What do you mean?
The amount of people dying is constantly shrinking, and we're constantly trying to make it shrink. So Darwin is not in effect. Fortunately, I think that there's also breeding aspects that are changing the shape of humanity and giving, you know, people with advantages without any death being necessary. And I'm really glad I decided that recently, because I mean, you know, it was very nihilistic to be strictly Darwinist. You know, I mean, just basically, without murder, there's nothing, you know.
Right.
Which is great. Without war or death or, you know, poor decision-making pre-children, you know. So, but people don't,
it's hard to think about that. It's really depressing, actually. Like I said, nihilistic. It's very dark. People don't get it. They still don't get it.
Right.
You know, hello, origin of the species. We still don't get it.
We still are operating on maybe not a such extreme level, but like on a daily level, like we're making those same kind of decisions.
I mean, we all understand the definition logically, right? You know, like anyone, oh, you want a Darwin Award. Everyone knows exactly what you mean, right? But like actually applying Darwin to daily life, I mean, you know. And I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's actually behavioral. This isn't a logical thing at all. It's actually completely irrational for us to reject Darwin. The rational, logical path would be let the kids who fall on the high dangerous playground die.
That's like Rousseau, right? Rousseau was
ruthless, but it's logical. That's psychopaths think. That's why we're different than that, because we go, no, we can't let kids die. That's terrible. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I do it too. You know, I'm capable of shutting it off just long enough to think, what would a psychopath do?
Yeah, right? you can't let kids die because, well, let's see. Kids are, like, you're supposed to protect them.
You can't even explain it.
You know, because, like, that's your function as a human adult.
Right, right.
Your function is to protect the young.
Well, yeah, but...
So, like, really, you're not surviving when you're young.
But other animals don't necessarily do that. There is some species specific protection out there, but for the most part that's not around.
Yeah, but those species that don't protect their young
every species protects their own young, but other young
not every species protects their young.
Some well that's true too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the old, you know, there's tons of species out there that protect their young.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, most of them, the vast majority of them do, and it's really good. It makes a lot of sense genetically, right? You don't want your children to die.
It's also like
in a few years, that's all that's gonna be left of you.
Well, like the human species is a bigger investment for us than for other mammals. So for us, we will put more effort and energy into.
We invest. Actually, that's the fundamental difference.
Mm-hmm.
Other animals don't invest.
Right.
Right? So think about the difference between property and territory. Territory is just something you have for right now. And if you get on my territory, I'm going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Property, you don't mess with someone else's property unless it's life or death. And even then, most people won't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something, it's an abstract concept a lot of it might be law. Like, the law is preventing us from doing this. But it's also conceptual too. Like, people won't necessarily mess with other people's property even without any enforcement mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
It transverses time without an enforcement mechanism. That's different. Now, of course, people, it's just very fast logic. Okay, but, you know, there's another explanation that I see is probably, you know, I don't really think it's very fast logic. I don't think there's anything logical about not taking what's available to you.
I feel like it's probably something that...
If I was truly logical, the world's in trouble.
I feel like if you, let's say, you know, a new society was, like, took all the little kids and put them, like, on an island, and would they take if they needed it? I feel like they would. I feel like it's a learned behavior to not take other people's property.
Well, but
people tend
think
not...
Think about this, right? You see a property... You see signs of life that someone's there, but you don't know if they're there now or they're not. You don't know when they were last there. What happens? Something goes off in the back of your head and says, don't go there. You know?
That's just risk. That's like
your conscience. That's why I'm saying your conscience is a risk manager. Does that make more sense? Jumped back in this rabbit hole because you said the word investment.
Yeah, once you said that it's emotional metadata, okay, I agree that there is emotional metadata. So, like, if that's what you want to call it, okay, fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything has emotional metadata because...
That's really cool. That's excellent. We got the signal, we're almost done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really awesome because, remember you said, why are we going down this rabbit hole? We're torturing people. Mm-hmm. We're not.
Well, it's just that you defined it differently than I had.
But we found common ground.
Common ground.
Right?
Yes.
We found our Rosetta Stone.
Mm-hmm.
We said, oh, okay, these two words match.
Right.
And now we're on the same page.
There, I believe that there is emotional metadata.
Yeah. But just, like, don't feel bad about rabbit holes. Sometimes they're hard work, and they're like, you know, I don't want people. It's important. Rabbit holes are important to me.
Rabbit holes are important.
What a stupid hill to die on, but I feel like I'm right about that.
But yeah, you know, they are absolutely 100% important. But like when you're trying to get a job done, I feel like,
right,
That I mean, not that we're trying to get
and
a job
you
done.
Are job one.
You are. We care about you.
We care about you. Hey.
I've had bosses do that to me.
What? You're why we're here.
You're why we're here.
Not selling the widgets.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, I promised we would come back to personal approach.
Okay.
So is there anything else happening in the office that you want to share that you think works? It's awesome. It's getting people to get along. I mean,
just don't get in their way. People are trying to please you. There's a rare person out there who is just trying to get away with something. For the most part, your employees are trying to please you. Don't let them. Don't get in their way and stop them from trying to please you. That
right.
would be a damn shame.
Is it important to get them to explain why they did they took the actions they took?
So I think to the extent that it like. Makes it better, yes. To the extent that you're trying to micromanage, fuck no. Like, don't micromanage people. Especially,
right.
You respect them, you hire them, they're working for you. If you don't, if you can't trust them, they shouldn't be on your team.
Perfect thing. Look at me with the pointing. Hey! I'm still doing it. I guess I'm getting tired because I'm turning into a pointy-haired boss or something, right? Hey! I got you. I got your back here. So, I used to work with a guy. I'm hoping to get him on the show. I was bugging
so
him a little.
This is a positive story.
This is a positive.
I thought it might be a negative story.
Very positive story, and actually, I consider him kind of like a mentor.
Is it Fezziwig, the guy you refer to as Fezziwig?
Fezziwig, yeah, yeah, so good old Fezziwig. Yeah, no, I just want to say his name until he agrees to be on the show. But
okay, go on the show, bro.
Yeah, go on the show, bro.
Go on the show, bro.
All right, so but he told me you got to trust your guys.
You gotta trust your guys. That's it. You can't, I mean, there comes a point where as a leader, you're gonna start leading more and more people. If you can't trust your people, you're fucked.
You need people.
You're
you
fucked.
Need new people then.
Yeah, you need new people. You need to be able to trust your people. And
so is the problem them or is the problem you? If you can't trust your people, probably it's you. But
Once in a while, it's going to be them, and
you got to go, okay, you just prove it over and over to you.
You know what? It's a us problem. I hate to sound like a cliche, but it's an us problem.
Yeah.
It's not a you problem or me problem, your fault or my fault. It doesn't matter. It's us.
Right.
It's our fault.
Right. You're not going to fire anyone on the air.
No.
No.
But if I was, you know who I would fire.
Right. Oh, that's good.
See, if you do that.
You get them all paranoid.
They all think
it's just fine. She put it in his team. He's like, no!
Oh,
see what I did there? See what I did there?
That was good. Good. Nice Mr. Eichel.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be part of the laugh, maniacal laugh. Always thinking ahead, Matt.
Technocrats rule the world.
Always thinking ahead.
Thank you so much for being on
Thank
my show.
Thank you for having me.
Can you believe we're done?
I didn't even get to do... Super fast.
You want to come on again?
Oh, my God, yes.
All right, so when we do season two, I'll definitely invite you back.
Excellent, Smithers.
And I'm looking forward to it.
I look forward to it, too.
Jeannie Boyle, everyone, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.